Talk Live.
Talk Live, it's talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. With fees of less than a penny per transaction, Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
And Colin.
And that number is 603-283-6160. A really crazy story that apparently just happened 2 weeks ago, but feels like way longer ago. I don't know why. There are these two parents, the parents of Ethan Crumbly, which is a hilarious last name for some reason. It just sounds like somebody in like a children's story, like a goose tale, mother goose tale or something. So Ethan Crumbly is a mass murderer and he's dead, but it's another situation where, well, they got to jail someone, they have to punish someone, which the justice system is always pumping out, you know, different cases like this where like, well, the actual criminal is dead in this case, or in Africa, in Ian Freeman's case. So, but we have to punish someone because we feel bad for other people. Well, Ethan Crumbly's parents got sent to 10 to 15 years in prison, I think it is.
Yeah, for manslaughter, right?
Oh, okay. That's what me and Colin were wondering before the show. Like, what was the charge? And I had heard, but I didn't actually read this, but I had heard that it's all because they were like, oh, well, you were bad parents. So since you were neglectful parents and then your kid shot up a school, you should personally be charged.
Yeah, that's the kid that they bought him a gun for his Christmas present or his birthday present. And they didn't get a mental health help. And so everyone decided that they're guilty of killing the people that their son killed.
That's so crazy. This is just proof.
I blame the person they got their breakfast from that morning, too. Might as well.
In fact,
anybody who knows them should just all go to jail. The whole town should go to jail.
The gun manufacturers,
The gun manufacturers,
So I really think that you could get a lot of the American public to agree with at least some of the people in that scenario. Like, oh, the people they bought their breakfast from, maybe not, but like their neighbors. Because my sister...
So wait, was it in a school that it happened?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, well, why don't they throw the principal in jail? I mean, he obviously had an unsafe building that anybody could go into like that.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, that's manslaughter.
It's like the same line of thinking. My
negligence.
Sister, she's really crazy, and she's always going to the cops, and she's like schizophrenic. She's gone to the cops about me, and like they're just like, we can't do anything about this story. You
Runs
seem
in
like
the family?
You're making up. No? And so one thing that she does is she makes up these stories, so she'll be like, yeah, this kid was sexually assaulted at my church. Like, it's completely made up in her head, as far as I know. And then she'll start contacting the work of other people that went to the church in 2012 at the same time as her and be like, you knew this was happening. I know this girl went to the same church as me, and she knew this sexual assault was happening by this other kid. You need to fire her. No, that is exactly what she does. So people, like, there are really dumb people all over the United States that would get on that jury. And then they would say, yeah, they're guilty too. I'm pretty sure because, I mean, my sister's not, she's just like an average person, but just maybe a little more crazy. So and the thing is, like, if you're really crazy enough and you want to be on a jury and you're dumb, they'll put you on the jury because they want those wild cards that will do whatever they want them to.
They want people who are emotionally manipulatable so that it becomes a competition between the prosecutor and the defense attorney as to who could, because if it's a matter of the facts, you actually might have more cases being determined properly.
Yep.
But, you know, people who are dumb and emotional, it turns it more into a game.
And that's what I was saying, like, about Ian's trial. When I gave that speech in Chicago, I went to a conference in Chicago and gave a speech about Ian's trial. Well, I was saying it's, like, so clear to me that these trials are not, like, a fact-finding mission. It's not like, oh, well, let's get down to the bottom of this, and whatever the truth is, that's what the jury should know about. No, like, it's exactly what Colin was saying. Both sides are just trying to make the most, you know, just appeal to the jury's emotions, and it's like all a show, and it's like kind of like, you know, you go with the side that you like the most. It's so stupid.
The thought of even having a jury of random people decide my fate is terrifying.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to people and hear their opinions? Like, a lot of them are really bad.
Ori just loves people, like the general public.
So oh, yeah, I do.
She goes to Walmart and she just loves them all.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's already terrifying enough. But it's worse when you consider the fact that the people who, like, may be sympathetic to you are going to get kicked off. Because the jury, I mean, the prosecution also has the quote-unquote right to kick off a certain amount of jurors, which is, like, absolutely crazy. They're not the one on trial. It's like this. These trials are set up as if the prosecution's, like, record is just as important to protect as your innocence or your life, because your life is getting taken away.
Go ahead.
If they want the death penalty, they'll ask the jurors how they feel about the death penalty, and if they say I'm against it, they'll just kick them off the jury.
Yeah.
Which seems extremely biased and like that shouldn't be allowed.
It is. And in Ian's case, he had a bunch of his charges were not cryptocurrency related, quote unquote, because there's not really such thing. But cryptocurrency was involved in the case. So they asked the jurors, do you know about cryptocurrency? And the prosecution got to throw off a whole bunch of people that knew about cryptocurrency. It's like if it was just a regular...
Could they throw everybody off of the jury who knows about guns in this case?
Or knows about the
Do you know
dollar?
About guns? Oh, well, sorry. You can't be on this jury to determine if this person murdered someone with a gun.
Yeah.
Are you educated in any way? Get out of here.
Yeah, seriously. And they also asked them in Ian's case, at least. So I'm just talking about Ian's because it's the one I know about the most. But they asked them questions like, "How are you, like, sympathetic to the U.S. government?" So the U.S. government's the other side of the other team. So how is that fair? But this is a call-in talk show, so I'm going to go to this unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind? I'd be driving. It's kind of a lot of
noise. I'm pretty sure Ethan Crumbly's still alive.
Oh, he is? Sorry about that. Maybe he is.
90% sure on that, but pretty sure he's still alive.
Okay, I guess I just thought he was not alive because this is kind of funny, but I'm looking at this, like, memorial thing, but I'm just realizing that's for the kids he shot. It's just I really quickly scrolled down and I see this picture here. Well, thanks for that. We're going to actually get into the article, so I'm probably wrong about that. Thank you for calling in. Anything else on your mind?
Nope, that was it.
Thanks for that. Yeah, I didn't actually read this article yet. I see this memorial with, like, teddy bears and stuff. Of course it's not for the shooter.
Yeah, no, that's for the shooter.
Because he's dead. Oh, my gosh.
If that was the real state of the country, then he would be found guilty. Was he found? He must have been found guilty, too, then. I don't remember because there's so many of these cases nowadays. Like, I remember when I was a kid, there was Columbine, and that was the big thing. And then it seemed like that was the big thing for, like, years. But now there's, like, one every month, you know.
Yeah,
maybe that
they're
is,
constant. I can't keep their names.
Maybe Ethan Crumbly already got found guilty or something, and that's why I felt like this was like months ago that his parents got put in jail, but maybe it was he got put in jail months ago.
I think it was him, and then his mom, and then his dad.
Well, read the article.
It says that they got sentenced last week, and that just does not sound right. So it says, when a Michigan judge sentenced James and Jennifer Crumbly last week to 15 to 10 years or 10 to 15 years in prison for murders committed by their son, my first thought was good riddance. In 2021, 15-year-old Ethan Crumbly had sprayed bullets down the halls of his high school north of Detroit, killing 4 classmates and injuring 7 more. The punishment for his parents seemed harsh, but I reserved my sympathy for the innocents he had killed, not the derelicts who'd raised him.
Okay. But just because they were terrible parents, But just because you raise somebody doesn't mean they're going to do all the things you say.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to act like you, even if you're a good parent.
Yeah.
Kids do things. People do things. They're individual human beings. They're not little robots that you program and then they go do whatever you tell them to.
Yeah, that is a really good point. I mean, like, I'm sure this guy would say, like, oh, they don't get to take all the credit for all the good things their kids do as adults.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like sure 15. That he's a youth, right? Like, under 18?
He's 15.
Yeah, 15. That's right. So, and so they're getting it under that sort of thing, you know, like saying, oh, they're your responsibility, legally speaking, so therefore you're responsible for this, because there are different things that kids do already, legally speaking, that the parents are held responsible for. But I'm wondering, I mean, the real principle that they want to get at here, it's not like they need to go after these parents to send a strong signal to parents to, like, do something different with their kids. It's not like that. I mean, obviously it's like a little bit of revenge, let's say, or getting even.
That's
or
what
whatever. But I think the principle, what they'd like to do going forward, is probably get it to where, like, oh yeah, you're a 50-year-old son, you know, did something. Let's go after the parents and then the grandparents too. You know, because that's the thing too. I mean, the grandparents are what made the parents the way that they are. So can we just lock the whole family up? Maybe they'll do what they do in China, where they send a bill to the parents after they execute the kid, you know?
Whoa.
The government. Oh, you haven't heard about that? Yeah, they send them the bill for the bullets in China.
That sounds like they do that just to be us. So I can't say that. Well, I can say that, but if I finish what I was going to say, then it's not FCC friendly.
So even if it was because they're responsible for their kids, as like if your kid broke a window and you'd have to pay for it, mm-hmm. it doesn't make any sense, because he was charged also for murder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, as an adult.
As an adult and got life in prison. So how can you say he's an adult and a child at the same time?
Yeah, they've done that many times, actually.
Oh, but it makes no sense, though.
It doesn't make real sense. You're arguing.
I mean, I'm a man-child, so... Oh, wait, did I say that out loud?
This is an opinion piece. So he's going to be speaking and is speaking like, oh, I think, blah, blah, blah. But back to the article, it says, now, I wonder if this case represents a worrisome precedent. So at first he had thought, oh, I don't care about the derelicts who raised this mass shooter. But now he wonders if this case represents a worrisome precedent. The Crumbleys appear to be the first parents in the U.S. to ever face criminal homicide charges for a school shooting committed by their child. They are being punished for buying their troubled teen a Sig Sauer 9mm handgun, failing to secure it, and ignoring all the signs of his emotional instability. Now, does Michigan have some kind of crazy laws where you have to, like, lock up your handgun in another room or something? Kind of made it sound like that. Because they bought it for him, but they had to secure it, like, away from him. If it was secured in a way he could just unlock it, then he...
Probably because he's a minor, matter. I assume.
Mm, that seems stupid. If it's his gun, they gave it to him. But you have to lock it away from him. And he's a 15-year-old. It's not like he's 8, you know? So... It says, while the shooter was the one who entered the high school and pulled the trigger, prosecutor Karen McDonald argued in a 2021 news conference, there are other individuals who contributed to the events, and it's my intention to hold them accountable as well. Talking about the parents. Whoa, that's just so evil and stupid.
Yeah, they're terrible parents, but they didn't kill anyone.
Yeah, maybe they... I mean, like... Is it just because the justice system doesn't like when people keep pointing out, like, oh, and these were abusive parents and the police never noticed it this whole time?
No,
the
I don't
schools
think so.
Never noticed it.
I think it's, let's see if we can get away with holding people responsible for other people's crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they would like nobody to have guns. So if they can add an introduced, you know, or an extra thing in people's mind, which is, oh, if I have this in my house and somebody else does something with it, I could be held liable. Maybe I don't want to have them. So they're just trying to attack the gun rights thing from every possible angle that they can.
There's actually a bill introduced, but it didn't pass even the House. In New Hampshire, I was reviewing bills for NHLA, and there was this one really bad bill introduced in New Hampshire maybe like 2 years ago, because I didn't do it this year, that would make it to where if you had a gun in your house and your kid took the gun and even threaten someone else with it, or someone else could claim that they were scared by the gun, then the parents could get in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, probably definitely if the kid... It's probably already a rule that if the kid went, like a child grabbed your gun and it's not secured, and then went and did something, that the parents could get in trouble for that. But this was even just like if somebody else saw the gun and was scared or felt threatened, then, but it didn't even pass the House or anything.
Yeah. Well, the Democrats of this state are always bringing up like really crazy stuff like that that fits into national narratives, but has no chance of passing here.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the voters in this state should be aware that like these people don't represent anybody at all. They represent a groupthink from the national level. And that's why they're always pushing things that will like never pass. I mean, just think like this state doesn't even have a seatbelt law. So if it doesn't even have a seatbelt law, why would it have a law like this? You know?
Yeah. And I think that the Democrats are the ones that do that the most, where they're just basically putting in things. Because even Dave Ridley, I don't know where he got this exact number or anything, but in fact, I don't even know the exact number. But Dave Ridley will always say that there's some certain amount of money that it costs the taxpayer every time a state rep even puts a bill in. So imagine like putting in all these bills that you know won't pass just to make yourself look cool on a national level to other Democrats, and it costs the taxpayer.
How's it cost them? I mean, there's money that the legislature spends doing.
But there's like people that actually write the bills, and they have to spend time on that
administrative.
Yeah, but
work.
they would fill up all their time anyways. I mean, they'd always be proposing something. So I don't know if you could really properly. This is more of a philosophical argument about whether you can charge.
You're just assuming that they would make the same amount of bills otherwise.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they would.
It's not like there's some kind of bill quota. I mean, have to fill the same amount.
No, but they fill up their whole entire, like, I want to say docket with stuff that they're going to talk about and argue about. It's not like they ever, like,
no, but you're not
they
even
never
listening
finish. They never finish and, like,
called,
leave early. You know what I'm saying?
You're thinking of something else, though, because I'm talking about, like, on top of the legislature, there are the people who write the bills. So, like, you're like, I want to put in a bill that bans fishing. And there are different people that aren't the New Hampshire state representatives, and it's their job to, like, take all these. So they have a piece of paper that says, okay, Colin wants to ban fishing, and then they have to write that up and do research.
No, I get that, but I'm sure those people are probably, like, salary. What I get is that there's a number, like, oh, we have this branch of the government, and it costs us, like, $1 million or whatever the number is, and then take that number, divide that by the number of bills, that's the cost per bill. But
that doesn't mean if a bill gets
submitted, they're like, oh, now we have to spend extra. I just think...
You'd have to ask Dave Ridley where he got the number. He might even call in.
Dave, call in and answer this question, or you're never going to be allowed on here again.
Oh, my goodness. Well, either way.
Unfree Talk Live, that's the new name.
Either way, just like getting elected just to sit around thinking of stuff that doesn't actually help the people that voted for you, and instead is just like you're putting it in just to make yourself look cool to a Democrat in New York City or whatever. It's really dumb. I mean, I'm sure that the Republicans do that too. I notice it a lot more from the Democrats.
I mean, I see them proposing stuff that, like, it's a bill that might pass in, like, California or some other place, never would here, and it's like, why are you even wasting your time? Like, you're supposed to work around the edges and then work your way in.
So, I don't even know
Let them know that. That's a good idea.
I don't know what you even mean.
Don't let them know that that's how they're supposed to do it.
Yeah, you're supposed to start small and then work big, you know?
I don't know. I feel like there's all kinds of different, like,
they need to make it to where they can ticket people for not wearing seatbelts. You guys still don't have that. I mean, you really need that.
Oh my goodness, I kept forgetting that was a thing in Illinois, because I'm just so used to, like, it not mattering. Not that I ever don't wear a seatbelt. Like, I basically always wear a seatbelt. I
wear one too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, but I don't want to be told to wear it.
Yeah, me either. But and it felt like when I was in Illinois, it kept being like, I just kept almost not wearing it and then being like, oh, yeah, I have to here, or at least it feels like you do.
I just wear it so I don't fly through the
Well, it's nice to be able to make the decision on your own, because sometimes I'm doing, like, deliveries or things like that. It's like in and out, and you're in a city where you might never go faster than 35 miles an hour, and it's like the chances of this, like, causing a problem. But meanwhile, like, buckling and unbuckling each and every time when you're in a hurry and you're rushing and you're grabbing things and you're doing all this other stuff. You know, for years, like, I think, I don't even know if UPS drivers have belts in their vehicles. They might not. I don't know. I remember as a kid asking my parents, I was like, why don't they have belts in there?
But why don't buses have seatbelts?
Yeah, why don't buses have seatbelts? Yeah, it's all the same, you know.
I mean, if somebody just doesn't want to wear it because they don't want to wear it for no other reason than they don't care, That's fine.
Yeah, no, I'm just defending the position that there are reasons why somebody wouldn't want to wear one that are reasonable.
Like, some I don't people want to have, is a good enough reason.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
Some people have been in car accidents and they were told, oh, if you were wearing a seatbelt, this would have been worse or you would have died. I have the opposite, so that's why I really want to wear a seatbelt. They were like, oh, good thing you were wearing your seatbelt or this would have been worse. But some people have
the opposite. There
have
been cases where people weren't wearing one and because they were thrown from the car, they survived.
That's what I'm telling you. Yeah. Like, it would have been worse if they were wearing the seatbelt. So if you've ever experienced that, then I can totally understand. You're like, nope, I'm not wearing a seatbelt. But since I have the opposite, it really makes me want to wear a seatbelt. But as soon as somebody is like telling you you have to, it just felt way more annoying to have to do it. But yeah, that's not a law in New Hampshire. That's the only place it's not a law.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, in the 50 states at least.
Well, there's like an asterisk to that.
Oh.
So because they want to get federal funds, the federal highway funds, they do have a law, but the law says that people under 18 have to wear it.
Mm.
So anybody, is it 18 or 20? Yeah, I think it's 18. Anyways, adults don't have to wear one. But occasionally you'll see them do this thing where they are actually like pulling people over or like checking to see if the kids are wearing the seatbelts. Yeah. I haven't heard of one in a while, so I'm not sure if they've done one or if I just haven't heard of it.
I've only had to think about that once and it didn't occur to me that it might be different. I drove my little brother and sister last year when my parents came to visit, just like down the street. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, I told them to buckle up, but then I was like, oh, they don't even have to. It's New Hampshire.
another interesting thing is there's no law, let's say, for the adults, but they still have those signs. Like, as you enter each and every state, if you've driven across the country, you'll see as you enter, like, it's illegal to have drugs in our state, yeah, or blah, blah, blah. They all have a sign that says, you have to wear your seatbelt. I'm like, the only place they need that sign is on the states that surround New Hampshire. Why does any other state even have that?
Yeah.
But New Hampshire has signs like that when you enter the state. And it's like, oh, be smart and wear. It's not like it's the law. It just says be. I'm like, that's like offensive to me. Like, you spent money.
Yeah.
We've like the legislature, they bring it up every like 5 years or something.
Really?
And it gets,
to get
yeah,
it, to take them down.
Not the signs, but to make a seatbelt law.
Oh, yeah.
And it always gets turned down, and it has every, so it's like there's repeatedly been turned down over the years, and yet the DOT or whatever it is has decided, well, we're still going to put up signs anyways to tell people what they ought to do. And I'm like, that's really kind of offensive to me. It's like, it really just tells people how much the people in the government, like the employees and the workers, think that they run your life and are no better than you.
Yeah, and if you're entering Arkansas, you'll see signs that say, like, even at 1 week, it's a child. Don't abort your babies and stuff like that. Or, like, Jesus loves
Wait,
you.
By the government?
No.
Oh.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. You can bring up whatever is on your mind. We're discussing people getting thrown in jail for their kids' crimes.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
It's Free Talk Live. Welcome back. 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind. It doesn't matter. You can change the subject and bring up whatever you want to talk about or comment on what we're talking about. Tell us we're wrong. It doesn't matter because it's Free Talk Live, and that number is 603 888-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Colin.
And in the last segment, we were talking about this story. It's actually an opinion piece from the Wall Street Journal.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
First, about what Colin was saying.
Uh-oh. So, I can't defend any of my positions, just letting you know that right now.
So there's no seatbelt law in New Hampshire, but they'll stop you and pull you over and look to see if people are wearing seatbelts. How is that not an illegal stop,
though? I'm trying to remember exactly how they do it, if they were doing it as, like, checkpoints or if they were just, like, ramping up the highway patrol thing and then, like, looking for... I don't exactly remember, but I've heard of them doing these campaigns. You know what? Give me a minute and I'll maybe look up one of those.
Okay, because that sounds like an illegal stop to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the details.
But they also just stop people for being like, you look suspicious. Like, I read this whole story
about...
Yeah,
that gets me all the time because I just look guilty.
Specifically, it was like about New Hampshire. It wasn't even like national or anything like that. There was this whole article about how tons of people were getting racially profiled and cops on the road were creating all these drug arrests because they would pull over people who just looked quote unquote suspicious. Oh, turns out most of them are not white too, and getting pulled over by white cops. And then they're like, oh, by the way, you looked suspicious. I pulled you over. Now I smell drugs. Now I'm going to check the car for drugs, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. When we lived in Utah, because Stu has dark skin and dark hair and dark features, he would get pulled over all the time.
Oh, wow.
Constantly.
Like the darkest looking person. And you have brown hair.
Right, yeah.
All the Mormons are mostly like blonde hair.
Right, because we lived in like, you know, Mormon country.
Yeah. I don't know how many people like actually know that haven't lived in Utah, but it actually is a true thing that like tons of Mormons actually have like blonde hair. They're super tall.
Blonde hair, blue eyes. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know any other religion where everybody really looks that similar. I don't know if it's actually because
they all look like they sell MLMs.
Yeah, actually, that's so true. So
I have a bit of an answer. So what was this? I think I clicked over from a WMR article on it.
WMUR.
And this, yeah, sorry. And this is, is this a government site? I'm not sure. But it says that yes, they do short-term, high-visibility enforcement involving a brief period of increased police efforts, including checkpoints and saturation patrols. Though these efforts, highly publicized through a media campaign, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So they do stuff. Combined nighttime enforcement programs. Yeah. So they do that. I hear about these articles. I see it, you know. Of course, I don't have kids or anything like that, so I'm just like roll my eyes at it. But I do feel it's like, oh, you know, this is annoying, you know, that they're doing it.
Pulling people over to check and see if their kids are buckled up.
I think that's a violation of your rights.
There's probably just some silly, stupid little thing.
How can they pull you over in the hopes that you committed a crime?
I don't.
That's true.
I don't know. I don't know
that,
if they're pulling people. Well, so it sounds like they do checkpoints.
Unsure or something like that.
Yeah, checkpoints. Yeah. Just you know, everyone's getting pulled
exactly.
Over.
Exactly. But then the other thing is, I think they're driving around and looking for it. Do you know what I'm saying?
The checkpoints are more against like the Fourth Amendment because it's unscreened. I can't remember the exact word they use in the Fourth Amendment. It's, you know, just the whole population getting searched for something instead of somebody who's actually suspected of a crime. So those are even worse. But they still happen. It's just like because they don't actually respect your rights.
Oh, yeah, that's why. I see.
Another thing in Utah, which makes it feel like it's more free in some other places in some respects, if you have too many kids in a car for the amount of buckles you have, then they can all just not wear a seatbelt. To fit into the car, yeah.
Oh, that's a Mormon.
Well, yeah.
I know, right?
It wouldn't be fair if only one of these kids died, so you better, you know. How are you going to explain that to the other ones?
Or
you'd be like, well, we liked him less
wrong.
Than the other ones.
It could be that, like, the amount of kids that there aren't seatbelts left for cannot be buckled, or can be not buckled up. But I thought it was everyone could not be buckled up.
Can you imagine how funny that'd be for the kids? Like, why am I the one that's not buckled?
Shut up, Cinderblock. we have a caller on the line, Rob from Vermont. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Rob, are you buckled up right now?
No, not yet. I don't have my seatbelt on because the car ain't running. Hey, look, I have some breaking news.
Oh, okay.
I'm over here in Claremont at the Claremont City office. where they have the town hall meetings and stuff. And I want to say probably 50 or 60 people showed up here against Representative John Stone. And they wanted him, you know, out of this district.
And he's and the cop that was getting people framed, kind of, for...
He was the cop that threatened to shoot up police station, you know, his chief, rape his chief's wife and child.
No, he didn't do that. He threatened to.
With a 15-year-old.
Okay, he had an inappropriate relationship with a 15-year-old, threatened to rape his chief or whatever, his wife,
and child.
And child? I thought it was like in front of his child or something. I don't know.
But anyways, the city council voted 5-3 and got him out.
Oh, so he was currently a state rep and now he is kicked off?
Well, he was kicked off of in terms of representing Claremont, and I don't think out of the state office, but he's not representing Claremont anymore.
Okay, so he was a state rep, or he wasn't a state rep, he was just a Claremont? I'm a little confused. What is he kicked off of, being a state rep?
Yes, believe so.
Interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, if you've been listening in the last few weeks, there was somebody that called in Thursday when I had Jay Noon on, and I forgot her name. She had an English accent, but she lives in New Hampshire, and she follows this case really seriously. This guy, he was doing what I was saying. I just didn't have a good way to really quickly say what it was. His job when he was a cop was to pretend to be a 15-year-old girl on the internet and get people in trouble for stuff they otherwise weren't going to do anyway. And in my opinion, that's like maybe not framing, but like entrapment. And it's so gross. And it's like, most people shouldn't appreciate
Bonnie,
you going around
doing that job. You're
being really
judgmental. I mean, he just identifies that way.
And exactly. It's like, you've got to be a total weirdo to want that job and like get really good at it. Like, I'm always just pretending to be a 15-year-old. Why don't they ever pretend to be 15-year-old boys? Like, what the heck? It's super creepy. Anyways, thank you for the update, Rob. That's interesting. So we've been hearing about that every once in a while. There are people in New Hampshire that really care about that going on, because recently, I don't know if it was the New Hampshire Supreme Court or something, for some reason, this rule got turned around where you used to not be able to see the, what is it called when you get in trouble with
Lori
a job?
Lori list?
It's not that, no. The Lori list is not, like, public yet, no.
Oh.
It's, you know, you've gotten in trouble with your job, so your record with the job, well, they weren't making it public, the cops' disciplinary records.
Mm-hmm.
But now it is public, and because of that, it was figured out who this quote John Doe in a lawsuit was, and it was this guy. I already forgot his name, but the guy that Rob is calling in about. Mm. He was a current state rep, and apparently he got kicked off of being a state rep because people are mad enough about what he was doing. But it's just like, to me, his job itself was worthy of being grossed out by him and not wanting to, you know, have him represent you and stuff. But I think most people are mad because allegedly when he was approached for some kind of misconduct by his, I guess Rob says it was his chief. Well, then he was like, but the thing is, it's so unclear. I don't know if it's if you keep investigating me or what the if is, but he threatened his chief with, oh, I'm going to rape your wife in front of your kids, or maybe rape your wife and your kids. I don't remember, but Rob said it was that way. So maybe it's that way.
I mean, there's not a recording of that, is there?
There's nothing.
So it's the police against the police.
Yeah, exactly. It's the police against the police.
I wouldn't trust any of them, actually.
And the other thing is, I don't think he should go to jail for that.
He probably has dirt on them.
Well, I don't know, because now they let it out. But so I already have said that I don't think Chris Cantwell should be in jail, and it's basically the same thing. He said, I'll have sex with your wife in front of your kids and she'll like it, or something like that. Can I say that on the radio? Maybe. Yeah, you could say have sex with on the radio. See, I always ask, but now I'm the authority, so I don't know. I'm always asking Ian. But so anyways, Chris Cantwell said that to another Nazi. So it's Nazi on Nazi crime. Cop on cop crime is the same thing to me. So I don't really think that anybody should be in jail for saying that. So in fact, this cop probably had more of a potential of actually being able to do it. Chris Cantwell said it to a Nazi that he knew from online who actually lived in Missouri, who he didn't have the address of.
I mean, was that a threat or was it an offer? Because...
I don't know. And that's the thing. Like, he said that, like, Chris Cantwell said it like that. Like, I will do this.
I mean, you could say that everything they did was they were pretending.
Yeah, you could.
Because, I mean, he's only pretending to be a Nazi when you think about it.
I have no idea. I don't know him well enough to know if he's
pretending. I mean, he doesn't dress well. Nazis dress well.
I didn't know he doesn't dress well. I don't know. I don't know that much about Chris Cantwell. He used to be a Free Talk Live host. I've never even heard any of his shows, but he is really funny, so I bet that it was really good. But then he started to become a racist and stopped being a libertarian, so he got kicked off of Free Talk Live. Ian had to fire him because he just became a racist. And actually, I think pro-violence, too, maybe. Maybe I shouldn't say that for sure, because I don't know. But we do have a caller on the line, Jeremy West from Australia. Jeremy, what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm calling in again. Oh, I wanted to say, first of all, that every time I call, it's so nice to hear Ian's voice answering, saying that you've called the LRN studio.
Oh. So I guess that probably happens when you call on the SIP line. That's really cool.
Oh, you don't think that happens? Okay, anyway.
I don't know, actually.
On the regular line.
I could be wrong. I don't know, but that is really fun. I like hearing his voice on, like, the commercials.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so it's just him. He just says, hello, you have called the LRN studios. Someone will be with you just as soon as possible.
Aw, so cool.
But anyway, I'm calling in as the TikTok correspondent, giving voice to keyboard warriors. And someone, last week you were talking about...
It's me again.
can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I said, oh, it's me again, is it?
No. Well, it was the team last week.
You were
talking about the... It's not an attack, actually, at all. You were talking about the non-binary person who wanted to add a vagina. They already had a penis, I think.
Yeah.
I believe they call that an addictomy.
No.
No, that's the other, if they already had a vagina and wanted a penis. Anyway. But somebody commented and said, Sorry, what happened was, not only did they want that, which I'm perfectly fine with if they find a way to pay for it on their own, but they forced the city government to pay for it, or?
Yeah, it was Ottawa, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, so somebody said, how about if, actually, Chelsea, I should say the name. Chelsea said, how about if you want surgery and stuff paid for, let scientists and psychologists study you so we can learn more about people going through this. That sounds like a great idea to me that people can get it paid for if they not by governments, but if they let the scientists and psychologists study them, then they can get the scientists can pay for the surgery.
I think we just need people to push this to its craziest logical extent, which is, you know, there's, oh, I identify this way, I'd like to represent myself this way in public. I think it'd be great if it's like just a bunch of women went into the city government. They're like, yeah, I identify as a woman with big breasts. Can I get like implants? And like guys go in and be like, I identify as like a big muscled jock. Can I get a bunch of hormones and go, you know, get bulked up and stuff? Like, we just need people to take it to its logical. We could all get stuff out of this. I mean, you know, you have a little too much hair. You want to get some hair removal. Be like, yeah, I identify as a guy who doesn't have hair on my back. You know, like.
What? So a problem
you're absolutely right, because I don't agree with, you know, government funding or whatever, but if we can steal that money to just better ourselves instead of having them spend it on dropping bombs on brown people on the other side of the world, then let's move all the funding to that.
One more thing, if I could say this, that's interesting about this is the British healthcare system has some mechanism, because I've read about this, because they pay for everything, by which women go and complain and to get plastic surgery.
Really?
Yeah.
Complain.
Yeah, it's not.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, they have to like petition for it in some way.
Like, just being like, I'm so ugly, or what?
I don't know what the thing is, but it's provided by their. It's not out of pocket. Although if they're wealthy, they can just go to a country and get it. But because it's a national healthcare system, like, how do you get like cosmetic surgery done? And so, like, I've read articles where, yeah.
So they can't just pay for it themselves.
Yeah, they're, like, complaining. They're like, oh, I had to wait this long to get this cosmetic surgery done. That's totally elective, not like a burn victim or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there.
So the problem with...
I got to say, I don't believe in the government-funded healthcare system at all. I'm so glad that the Australian system is not the same as Canada or the UK, where you're not allowed to do private health. So here, there is a government system that everyone's automatically in, but there's also a private system. So, for example, so you can have private health insurance or pay for it yourself.
And is there like a
get it straight away, not wait a year?
Oh yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, is there a big difference? Do people in Australia talk and say like, oh yeah, it's much better to use the private? You know, do you hear about that a lot?
Huge. I would needed a colonoscopy and I was able to get straight in with private health insurance, but I had to wait like 6 months to get an appointment, to get a referral, to get something else if I was going to go through the public system.
At least you got your work done down under.
It's kind of interesting that you have those two systems side by side to where people can clearly see the difference and that they even hold on to the government one at all. But what were you going to say, Lori?
Yeah, yeah.
The problem with... funding research instead is that scientists aren't like millionaires. They're just some guys in a lab somewhere doing the work that they're told to do. Mm-hmm. And it's all funded by research grants given by the government through taxpayer money. So then you're paying for the research and the surgery because that's also going to be funded by the same grants.
Point. That is a good point. Yeah. I was just thinking like, I don't know if a scientist was like, I have that money and I want somebody to, you know, volunteer to do it. I don't see anything wrong with it, but it does make sense that there are still going to be tons of people that are like, yeah, but I want this and I want this. And it's not like the scientists have all that money. And where do they get the money from is usually the
everybody
government.
Everybody else.
Which is everybody else.
But yeah, if we did have a private research system, then that would be a great way to pay for surgery if you can't pay for it yourself.
If everybody that wants this done can just pool their money and hire someone to do it, then that's totally fine.
Yeah, it'd be a much better solution than getting everybody who doesn't want to, you know, somebody who works at McDonald's and this amount comes out of their paycheck and that amount is going to get you a breast surgery because you're a flat-chested woman who identifies as one with big boobs. That's not very fair. It's not very nice to that person working at McDonald's.
What if that person working at McDonald's also wants
big boobs?
Big boobs.
Yeah. Well, does that answer the question?
Well, yeah. But forget about public funding. If these things were all funded privately, people are like, oh, this is a slippery slope. What, you know, now people are going to be identifying as a cat and get surgery to be a cat or whatever.
Sure.
And to me, I'm like, yeah, so if they're happy that way. And people are like, oh, you should be treating their mental illness. Well, if they're just happy that way, then let them be a cat.
If somebody wants to be a cat and they get surgery to look like a cat, that would make life a little bit easier because then I'd be like, I'm not going to hang out with the cat people. I immediately know that I don't want to hang out with the cat people.
I believe in treating these mental illnesses. So if there's any women who think that their breasts aren't the right size, I will help them feel better about that.
Oh my goodness. Well, the thing is, like, even if you believe in treating these mental illnesses, it still shouldn't be treated or paid for by the public. But yeah, I agree, Jeremy. I also think it's a little silly to act like there really is this slippery slope. I don't know. Maybe sometimes I've thought that before, but I'm going back and forth. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean just because, okay, here's what I'm trying to say. There are people that are born one gender and they identify as the other, and that makes total sense to me. I just don't think that is the same thing or should be conflated with these people who are like, I'm a cat. That's not the same thing. And I feel like it kind of hurts the people that want to be, that are just trans. Like, that is totally, like, that is something that logically I can see happening in a certain amount of people. But it...
I agree, but what I would say is that... So I believe the same as you, that it's a natural thing, born that way or whatever. But if people say, there's a lot of people who think, you know, it's a mental illness or it's their choice or whatever. And even if it was, what's the problem with letting people be happy the way that they are and, you know, live and let live? That's very libertarian to me.
Yeah, that's very true. Thank you so much for the update. Anything else on your mind, Jeremy?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
No more tickle talks?
as we call this, TikTok.
Nope. We're just getting one a day.
Oh, I should actually say that Jeremy runs our TikTok for us. And if you'd like to follow and help him make his goal of getting up to 10,000 followers, we are at Free Talk Live on TikTok. And we really appreciate everything you're doing for us there, Jeremy.
And it's over 8,000 now. I should every day say what it's at, because as an update, let's just quickly.
Wow, that's going faster than I thought.
8,042.
Wow. Thanks so much, Jeremy. And we do have another caller on the line. Sarah from New Mexico, you're not usually calling during the first hour. What's on your mind, Sarah?
Oh, I just want to say we ended up getting about 80 free product dollars. And we get like $3 of free if we use $100 from a credit card.
Who is we?
Well, Raymond. It's Raymond that's got his credit card.
So most people don't know who that is. So like Colin here, I don't think you've ever been on the show with Colin. I don't think, well, he doesn't know who Raymond is. That's the guy you live with. And the thing you're talking about, these credits, is for the the company you work for, the MLM you work for, the multi-level marketing company you work for, right?
Well, I call it the network marketing. You guys call it that, but mm-hmm. I don't think we all, because we don't do any delivery. But another thing, our shipping, when we pay the shipping, it's free product dollars. We get to buy free products for next month. And then he's got, I think, 22 people. So we get about, $22 in free product dollars.
So he has 22 people on the tier lower than him.
About 12 people. I got about 8 people. So we have that spot for the two lines, and he could get free product dollars coming from that, just being a customer.
So we're just really, is this helping at all with, like, you paying rent or paying for anything that you used to do in your life? Or I'm just wondering.
We take a lot of that. It does. Otherwise, we would pay money to buy our supplements, because we like our supplements. We like the CoQ10. Vitamin D, Provic, CV, I shouldn't be saying that. I'll buy all the supplements, and then I use the air freshener. So otherwise, we would spend our own money.
So but basically, we get to. Okay, I understand. So it's Sarah doesn't get money for this job she does. She basically just gets paid in the products, and she makes sense in her head by saying, oh, well, I would be spending money on these supplements anyway, but I'm getting a better deal when I get them.
That's how some drug dealers do it.
That's the old company stores that they used to have way back when, where you worked like in the coal mines and they wouldn't pay you. You'd have to go to the company store and turn in your work for supplies.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that really does sound like what that is, a similar thing. I knew the term company store, but I didn't really realize what that meant until just now, but it seems like the same thing.
Yeah,
so
they
Sarah's
have company
in,
towns too.
Sarah's putting in this work, but she's justifying it in her head that she's not making any money. But then again, Sarah is a communist, literally, she calls herself a communist. So Sarah, would
Sarah
you feel
like
bad
to live in a town run by her?
She's not
going to
understand that. Sarah, would you be upset if you were making money?
No, if he finds out one person, enroll them as a customer for over a month and cancel out the next month, he would get that $22.
Okay, but I think she would feel bad because she's anti-capitalism. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Hi, I'm Derek J. To me, an activist's calling is to actively work to advance a cause. The cause for which I work is personal freedom. I believe my life is best when I engage in voluntary interactions and self-government. I reject the idea that anyone else has a higher claim to my life or my body than I do. I see people who call themselves the government as a threat to my personal freedom. I realize you may feel differently, but my relationship with the people who call themselves the government is completely involuntary. If Starbucks used some of its money to drop bombs, I wouldn't shop there. So why would I support the American Empire? The Empire does not require my consent.
Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Free Talk Live.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind that you want to talk about on around 150 radio stations across the nation. Actually, I don't like that word, across the states. Whatever you want to bring up to people, you want to hear people to hear about, you want to get our opinions on, or other people, other callers' opinions on, you can call 603-283-6160 and bring it up on the show. Even if it's off topic, it doesn't matter. Or you can talk about what we're talking about and give us your two cents. Here in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
Colin.
And in the first segment, because we did get a few calls in the, I think we got three calls in the last segment, we were talking, and in the first segment, though, about this story. It's an opinion piece from the Wall Street Journal, and this guy is talking about how, at first, when he heard that Ethan Crumbly, school shooter's parents, were also charged, he was charged with life. He got life in prison for shooting and killing four people and, I think, injuring seven others in his high school. Well, his parents also got sentenced to 10 to 15, I don't know why they keep calling it 10 to 15 years in prison. Like, I usually think it's like supposed to be a set number, but maybe he'll get into what that's supposed to mean. But his parents also got sentenced to some time in prison for, I think it was manslaughter. Lori said she thinks it was manslaughter. And so that would be like the actual charge. But the reason is because, oh, well, they were bad parents. They gave their son a gun, even though he had mental health problems. They failed to get him mental health checks and they failed to secure the gun. Then he went and shot people in his high school, so they should be held accountable as well. And that's even what the prosecutor said. The prosecutor, Karen McDonald, said there are other individuals who contributed to the events, and it's my intention to hold them accountable as well. And so this author of this Wall Street Journal opinion piece said at first he thought, oh, yeah, who cares about those derelicts? I agree. We should punish them as well. And now he's wondering, maybe this case represents a worrisome precedent, but this is a call and talk radio show, and it's a little like this is giving me like a little bit of a trip kind of, because Sarah from New Mexico never calls in until the third hour, and now David, who also does the same thing, is calling in the second hour as well. Don't know why you guys are switching it up on me. You're not allowed to do that. David, what's on your mind?
Yo, Bonnie, your baby daddy. Well, I'll tell you, Bonnie, because I got a hot date tonight. I got to hurry up and get on the radio so I can get on my hot date.
Ew, don't. Okay.
Is it with Sarah? Is that why she called early?
Wait a minute, Bonnie, the little tiny tyrant, the Minnie Mouse. You were about to tell me to don't do what?
Don't call me that.
Broke up, Bonnie, because you're always telling me what.
Oh, my God.
She's
the slander.
She's the pint-sized Pol Pot.
The pint-sized
Pol Pot.
Oh, there you go. I like that.
I've got a whole list of them now. You inspired me.
Yeah, Ian loves this too now.
All right. Wait, Ian what?
Ian loves this joke too now, and he was, I don't know if he thought of new ones, but he was laughing at the ones I told him about.
Oh, nice.
Cool. You should, you know what? I'm getting this vision right now for Bonnie and in all of those capacities, that when you walk into the prison, you own the place, and you start ordering those guards around. You do this, you do that, you do it.
You let my husband free now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish. This at the prison, it's so much worse. They're more like just messing with your emotions. They don't care about your time or your day. Like, it's not like there's some set amount of time I'm supposed to be there. It's like I show up, and then when I want to leave, I can kind of just leave. But basically, like, say I get there and I want to leave at a certain time. So I'm like, okay, and goodbye. Like, I'll talk to you later. I have to sit in a chair next to the door, wait until a prison guard feels like taking me out, like leading me all the way out. It's just...
Or taking you out. Those are two completely different things. Taking you and taking you out are like night and day, Bonnie.
Okay, well, taking me out of the prison, it's like it's so much worse. It's not just like in the other jail, it's like if I visited Ian at 8:30, but I needed to get out of there quickly, I could see him for a while and be like, okay, bye, and just walk out the jail myself. In this one, like, I have to go through all these doors, and like, I have a stamp on my hand for no reason, where I have to show the guy that I have this stamp on my hand.
A stamp? Really?
Yeah, it's a stamp that glows in the light that you put it under.
Is that stamp by chance possibly toxic chemicals
I know,
that they're
right?
applying to your body?
That's what I was thinking. I was wondering that. All of the food that they sell there is toxic as well. Like, I was looking at it, and I was like...
They can prove it. They can't force you. It's a violation of your human rights to force you to be stamped, tattooed with toxic chemicals in order to visit your loved ones, Bonnie.
Yeah, but all that's going to do is make
them... Can I ask, do they put that on, like, after you've entered, so what, you can't re-enter, or...
I think it's just so that way, if somehow this woman who is leading me through all these doors has, like, a group of four, right? If somehow somebody who wasn't actually supposed to snuck in, which makes no sense. Like, where would I come from? It doesn't make any sense. If somehow I just snuck into the line and now I'm like, she didn't notice.
Well, let me ask you this. Have they ever checked you for that same thing as you're, like, leaving, or?
Yeah, they check you as you're leaving, too. Oh, maybe that's why. So I know they know I'm not a prisoner when I'm leaving, but they check it when I'm going in, too. So they check it when I'm going in two spots, and it takes forever, too. And, like, this woman...
Does it have a certain shape on it, too?
It's like some sign. I don't know what it is.
Interesting. I bet I could, like, make a fake one, and we could just, like, get everyone out of there. Oh, did I say that on the radio? Never mind.
Well, you'd have to be able to somehow stamp their hands with it. And apparently the guards that were watching the one time that I visited Ian, which was this past Sunday, don't really care. So me and Ian were just, like, holding hands and talking the whole time, and that guard never said anything. But one of the prisoners had told Ian that there's this one that when she's the prison guard watching us, she'll be like, hey. Well, the other one's a woman, too.
Oh, okay.
And this one, like, she's kind of rude, and she's definitely a dyke. I was like, okay, so if I get patted down, they're going to be like, it's fine, she's a woman. But she's, okay, maybe I shouldn't say that word. She's obviously a lesbian, the butch kind. I don't know if dyke is actually offensive.
Wow, first the F word, and now dyke and lesbian? Wow.
Lesbian is
offensive. Wait a minute, there's something very important. When this little Dutch boy stuck his finger in the dyke, just exactly what the hell was going on?
What? So, well, I know that word means other things, but I don't know what it means, so...
You don't know what a dyke is?
Only...
There's like three different words that dyke means, because there's also a dyke, which are a set of cutters. They call those dykes. And then there's the
dyke.
Yeah. Then there's you know, those things in Holland, the Dutch boy, those are like little dams that they would build, and then they would pump the water out to make more land.
Okay. So that's what I have to say about your joke, David. Well, okay.
What exactly did you say about my joke? I wasn't even clear on what you said, Bonnie. What did you say?
First, I just said, what does this mean? Blah, blah, blah. And then I said, okay.
You know, you have really made this David guy mad. I remember the first time I was on, you called
David
in and we talked about medals and stuff.
Yeah, it was nice then.
Yeah, it was nice.
Bonnie the ball buster. There you go. There's another one. Bonnie the ball buster. BBB.
Well, I felt like we actually had something we were talking about here before I said dyke.
Yeah.
Before I even said anything.
Yeah, we did.
Well,
we did, and we didn't even get to what I was calling.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, you know what? You didn't actually...
One second. I'm just going to mute Bonnie.
Stop it. You actually didn't actually bring up what you actually called in about. Yeah, I was just kind of rambling about the prison guards, and it's annoying, and it annoys me, so I don't want to talk about it anymore. So go ahead. What's on your mind, David?
Okay, what's on my mind, but lastly on that subject, I think Bonnie needs a little dictator uniform that she puts on when she goes to prison to visit Ian. I think that would be cute.
I'm the least of a... dictator at that point.
Oh, okay. I was going to. I'm going to spare you any serious stuff. I'm going to tell you something. Another animal story. But I do want to criticize the two ladies there for last time when I called last time 2 weeks ago or whatever it was, and we had a discussion. And then after you hung up on me, then you criticized my points without me being on the telephone in order to tell you how wrong you are, and that's not fair. I just wanted to say that.
Okay. Well, sometimes it just feels like it's the only way to end
fair
call.
Fair Talk Live.
Fair Talk Live.
Yeah, no. That's an unfair communication style that the little dictator is implementing there, and it should cease immediately.
The other ones dictator. Do it too. Ian and Aria do that too.
Yeah, I know. I have chastised them as well. That's just that they're too dumb to understand. You at least have enough brain cells that you might be able to understand my plight,
point of view,
the situation. The other two they're too dumb. They'll never get it.
Whoa, I don't think Ian's dumb, or Aria, but thank you, David, for the compliment. I'll take the compliment.
Yeah.
Wait, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to tell you an animal story. I don't even know if I'm still in the mood anymore.
No, but, I do want to hear the animal story. Is it squirrel related or lizard related?
Rodent. It's rodent. This one's bunny rabbit. I got these wild cottontails. I mean, they're just regular wild bunny rabbits, cottontails that live around my house like a lot of people do. And I was reminded just yesterday, actually, of this fun behavior on their part. I'll be at a doorway or somewhere in my yard, but even if I'm in the house with the door open, they'll come right up to the open door and like look in and look at me and like, hey, how you doing? What's up? What's going on? You want to come out? And they'll just hang out there for a couple minutes. And they'll stay there longer if you talk to them and engage them like they're a person. I mean, literally talk to them like they're a person. They'll actually stay there and listen to you and make eye contact while you're talking to them. And then when they finally get bored with you, which actually they have a longer attention span than most people, then they'll just like, okay, bye. I'm going to go hop off and eat some grass over here.
Aww.
Later.
Do your bunnies seem like they care if you're talking to them?
No.
Yeah, they do. Actually, and if you're out in the forest, deer will do the same thing. If you're walking along and all of a sudden like there's a doe there, and she doesn't run off immediately, if you just start talking to them and such, that they'll actually like stand there and make
one time before I just like hated the cops too much to even ask for their help. One time I called the police because deer was staring at me and not letting me pass its path, and I climbed up in a tree. And of course the what are they called? The people that answer the phones. Because I lived in such a small town. The people that answer the cop phones, I forget what they're called right now.
Dispatchers.
Yeah, the dispatchers would always, they'd see me in the grocery store and be like, wait, are you Bonnie Cruz? Oh my gosh, we always talk about how funny that was. It wasn't funny. I was like, serious. I was like, I don't know what to do. It won't leave me alone. It's staring at me. And it had little horns.
Oh dear.
Yeah. And
But now that's your spirit animal, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
So... Yeah, I think that they can be kind of creepy.
I don't trust any wild animal that's friendly.
Yeah.
And it was seemingly friendly.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't even necessarily being friendly. It was running past. I froze, I'm in this field with little trees, and it's in Utah, so it's not like big giant trees. And so it was running perpendicular to my path, and it stopped. It was not even looking at me. Then it slowly turned towards me, and I just got into a tree as fast as possible, and it approached a little closer. So I was like, mm-mm. I don't know what to do. There were bees in the tree. So I called the cops.
On the bees too, right?
No. But by the time they had got there, it had just got bored and walked away. And so I just told them, I just waited for them because they told me to. And when they got there, they were like, really? They were acting like I was lying to them or something, and I told them
the Bonnie that cried deer. Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
What would even be the purpose of that lie?
I always wonder.
I just
that.
Wanted to see you guys.
I know. I always
they get that. They get that actually.
So they told me they were like, just so you know, we may have to kill it. Are you okay if we go looking for it? If we may have to kill it, I was like, I don't care. But now I feel kind of bad. I do care. Like I wouldn't want them to kill it now.
Do you know what they did though? They wanted to make sure they had the right deer, so they did a lineup. And they showed you this one, this one.
They just
one,
picked
this
the
one.
Darkest one and shoot it. That's that's how it happens with the cops.
Oh dear.
Well, that's a really cute bunny story, David.
Yeah, that wasn't even the story I was gonna tell you.
Really? Okay, then what was the story you wanted to tell?
There's more to it, but first of all, clarify. So I was picturing a juniper tree, but once I picture you up in the tree, it was a nut tree, right?
I don't get. Is that a joke? Because they laughed.
Because you're a nut. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my god! She didn't get that one.
It wasn't a juniper tree because it wasn't an evergreen, and I was in a neighborhoody area. It might have just been planted. It might have not been something that's supposed to be.
Oh, it was definitely a nut tree. Yeah, it was definitely a nut tree.
Thank you, David. You actually had an actual story you wanted to, I feel like you had a secondary, a primary story. You only told me the secondary one.
Yeah, if you want to know just how, I mean, rabbits are actually really, really smart. And if you want to know just how human some animals can be, here's a situation that happened to me recently. I had a mother cat and she had a litter, and the cats were all like half grown, so they're pretty big. The kittens were pretty big by the time I got rid of them. And so there's like, I don't know, what, 7, 8 cats all right around me. I was out in the yard, and all of a sudden comes hopping this bunny rabbit that I'm talking about. There's 3 or 4 of them, but there was one in particular. And this bunny rabbit comes hopping around the corner right toward me and these like 7, 8 cats. And all the cats, all of a sudden, they go into predator mode. They're like, oh, we're going to get this bunny rabbit and eat it right now. And so in seeing what's going on, I don't make any move. I just look at all the cats, and I go, no. And they all just freeze. And you can tell that they, like, relax. They're like, okay, he's not going to let us kill this bunny rabbit.
Wow.
And so all these cats are just all around me, and they go out of their predator mode and just start to relax, and they're watching this bunny rabbit. And they're like, well, we'd still really like to kill that rabbit and eat it, but he won't let us.
Wow.
So, okay. And then the bunny rabbit looks at me in the eye, and it had come around the corner and stopped. And then I yelled at the cats, and then the bunny rabbit looked at me in the eye, and I said, okay, come on, come on. And when I did that, then the bunny rabbit just hopped right directly toward me and passed right by my feet and went right through the middle of all of the cats and continued on its way to the other side of the yard, and the cats didn't make a move on it at all. So if you want to know how you can control animals just by treating them like people, there's a very interesting study, or at least it is to me.
That doesn't work, though, with government people, right? Like, if I treat them like people, I can't control...
They're not as smart as wild animals.
Oh, okay, I see.
I imagine David dressed up as Snow White with all the animals, like, surrounding him.
Do you sing and they come out?
The birds helping him get ready in the morning.
I was actually thinking, I was like, maybe because of the way that David lives, he has some kind of, like, deeper connection to the animals. They, like, listen to them. They come and lick water droplets off his ankles. And no, that's another story.
And what part of New Mexico are you in, if I could ask?
They're probably just thirsty, and they're like, I'm going to risk it for some water because we live in the desert.
That's true.
What? Where?
Right in the middle.
Oh, well, right in the middle would be what, just a little bit south of Albuquerque?
Yeah, south of Albuquerque.
Okay.
Well, I wonder if somehow you have some kind of connection that other people who don't, like, live out off-grid have with animals, because, I don't know, that's kind of cool. When Lori was saying, I'm imagining David dressed up, I thought you were going to say, like, I don't know, like, some kind of druid or something, and you said, like, Snow White, so now that's what I'm going to imagine instead. Well, thank you for the call, David from New Mexico. I can't believe he thinks I'm smarter than Ian. That's definitely not true, but it is really funny, and I'm going to tell Ian now. So, and it's weird, like, David seems like he's mean to me, but he actually, like, loves me. He even said it once. He calls me a tyrant and stuff, but he loves it.
Well, I mean, that just means you're doing your job right. They're supposed to both fear and love the leader.
I'm the leader.
The tyrant, the dictator,
So just to, I want to basically get to at least the point of this guy's opinion piece about Ethan Crumbly's parents getting sent to jail for the crime that their son committed. Well, he says, locking up parents so irresponsible seems just. The truth may be more complicated. Quote, a lot of prosecutors are prosecuting people in circumstances that show something like civil negligence, not criminal negligence, unquote. That's Joshua Kleinfield, professor of criminal law at Northwestern University and a lawyer for Northwestern's Juvenile Criminal Defense Clinic.
I'd feel a lot better if it was a civil case, you know, like a wrongful death or something like that, than you know, a criminal one. Yeah.
That'd be fine. Yeah, if they wanted to individually sue.
Yeah.
So the parents of the kids who died, you know.
A lot of prosecutors already do that with what you're saying, civil, but it doesn't really happen with this with criminal cases. So
because it shouldn't.
Yeah, it shouldn't. I don't even know if this should happen civilly, but at least I don't think they should be found guilty. Maybe they could try, but I'm sure a jury would help them do that civilly too. Actually, wait, they kind of already did because the parents of the dead kids in the Connecticut shooting, the big one.
Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook. Yep. They won money for a civil suit against the manufacturer of the gun. Not the parents of the guy who shot their kids, but the manufacturer.
Didn't they also sue Alex Jones, maybe?
Mm-hmm. For, yeah, he, that's the whole, like,
for saying stuff.
Yeah, billions of dollars.
Worth, I don't know.
Quote unquote, like, forfeited or whatever in that, not forfeited, but fined in that case. The only thing that makes me, like, or not the only thing, one thing that makes me really disappointed in that whole case is, like, Alex Jones went on to be like, I shouldn't have said those things and I'm sorry to anyone I offended, but this isn't right. No, you should, I mean, this is just what I think he should do, but I just feel like, why even apologize? Like, you should say whatever you think that you need to say.
I heard a break in the audio for a second.
Oh, yeah, but you should say whatever you want to say to the public, and their feelings shouldn't, guarantee them any money from you for saying it. It's crazy. So this guy says that meeting the standard of criminal culpability and its dire punitive consequences typically requires a higher level of mens rea, or a guilty mind. For example, tossing a cinder block from a high window onto a packed street demonstrates an active indifference to the value of human life. As several criminal law professors point out, simply making a gun available to one's son doesn't meet the standard. But, I mean, the thing about it is, most people on the jury would read that paragraph and their eyes would gloss over it. It's not like they understand anything about law. I mean, to be at the point of being like a lawyer, obviously not, but even just like the average person on the street wouldn't even be able to understand what I just said. I'm not trying to call everybody stupid, but it's just like the people that get picked on to get on these juries are literally selected by the prosecution to be the least intelligent and the least informed about things because it helps them.
You know, I'll tell you an interesting thing. This is a story from TJ.
TJ the spy?
Yes, TJ the spy. So he had to serve on jury duty, which he felt was happy about at the time. He's like, it's my duty and I get to help him, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, before he was even a libertarian?
Yeah, although, I mean, honestly, so I think a lot of libertarians would like to serve on it because they could do the right thing. But in any case...
yeah, but he was probably doing it for the right thing, but it was probably not really the right thing back when he was a Democrat.
Well, anyways, I don't know how to respond to any of that. I'll tell you after the break.
So 603-283-6160, you can bring up whatever is on your mind. Clearly, after that conversation we just had with David, clearly you can bring up whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
The Shire Free Church offers a sanctuary to those seeking an escape from state churches.
The Shire Free Church is an interfaith, diverse group of people that may not share identical theological beliefs.
As a member in or minister of the Shire Free Church, you are a sovereign individual and may be the faith of your choice.
We don't claim to have all of the answers.
We are open to all peaceful people.
We want to learn from each other.
What unifies the Shire Free Church and its diverse members is peace,
love,
and liberty. There are many paths to God, one for every individual.
The Shire Free Church does not define a specific path beyond these parameters that must be your foundation.
Peace as your way.
Love as your guide.
And liberty as your light.
Learn more at church.shiresociety.com.
That's church. ShireSociety.com. It's Free Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And I would like to thank Alex, who is a gold level amplifier with us. An amplifier is somebody who helps you advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And if you'd like to join Alex, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That is amps.freetalklive.com, and sign up with us to support the show and also see what kind of perks and benefits that you can get for helping us out. And we really appreciate it. So thank you, Alex, for joining the AMPS program. That amps.freetalklive.com. With you in the studio on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Colin.
And in the last segment, you were telling us a story about another person who sometimes does the show with us, TJ the Spy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a, I think, fan favorite, because I'm a fan and he's my favorite. I love TJ. And he comes and does the show sometimes. Well, you were talking about how years and years ago, because you are his ex-lover from Missouri, you used to live with him.
I mean, you know, I thought we said we wouldn't talk about that on the... No, I'm just kidding.
Well, anyways.
I lived at his house for a while, so yeah. But,
so he was gonna... He got selected for jury duty.
Yes, yeah. So he was selected for jury duty, and I don't know exactly why it was the case, but they weren't just criminal things. They were civil things, because you have a way to get a jury trial for certain types of civil things. And it was this case where, like, a trucker at the local truck stop had bumped into another truck, and they were, like, suing the one guy for damages or whatever. And, like, nobody was hurt or anything like that. But in any case, the lawyer for the – we'll call them the defense, but that's not the word. It's the plaintiff and the whatever. I get them backwards. When they were doing the voir dire for the jury and going through, so it's a civil case, right, which means it's preponderance of the evidence, which means it's 50%, not proof beyond a reasonable doubt, which is like, you know, 100% or 99%. So the I'll call them the defense, was going to each one of the jurors and saying –
it's the plaintiff and the defendant, even
if it is the defendant.
Sense.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was, but I wasn't sure off the top of my head. Was going to them and asking them during the questioning part, which they call voir dire – or people say voyeur dire, whatever, different pronunciations. Do you feel that, you know, how guilty do you feel that the person would need to be, or at fault, in order to find, you know, to find them at fault or find them guilty or whatever? And the people were like, well, I feel like it'd have to be like more than 50, blah, 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 and things like that. Because they were just like confused. Like they didn't know it was a civil trial and they didn't understand anything. And so they're like, well, I wouldn't want to find him, you know, guilty if it was just like only 50%. But that's actually the burden. So the lawyer was able to kick off everybody in the jury pool.
Including TJ?
No, he would have answered it correctly, but to where there weren't enough jurors to have on a jury. And what that did is then the it was a county, I think. The county had to go out and get more people. But in the meantime, he's racked up the costs on the other side because they're paying their lawyer by the hour to be there. And so it was basically a tactic to force them into negotiating again so they could just negotiate something and not hold the actual trial.
That's so sneaky. But
the interesting thing is, if you think about that, like that question, how guilty do you think you'd have to find this person to let them off?
What is 50% guilty?
Well, because essentially,
well, I mean, I guess
insurance
can determine that based on specific things, but
so it's in a civil thing, it's not the immense powers of a government that can take your life and throw you away forever. Mm-hmm. It's basically two people having a disagreement, right? And so it's just as bad if you find the one party guilty as if you find the other one not guilty, right? Does that make sense? Like if you and I had a dispute over like $1,000 and I said that, you know, you owed it to me and you said you didn't. Well, if we go, let's say they find it and they find that you do owe it to me. Well, then that, you know, that'd be right. But if they said that they didn't, but the opposite was the truth, then you'd be screwed, right? Like one of the two parties is going to get screwed in that. So you can't put either one of them above the other. Mm-hmm. So when you find the, I'm going to use the word guilt, but that's not the right word.
So what you're saying is it's somebody, both sides have something at stake, unlike in a criminal thing.
Yeah,
where
the government has nothing to lose. Yeah,
exactly. Like,
yeah. So anyways, they use
I don't know if the audience understood what we were saying.
Okay,
so like,
yeah.
In a criminal case, like you are getting charged with something, the people on the quote other side, the prosecution, the only thing they have to lose is, oh, you know, they get an L instead of a W on their record. And it's not remotely the same as you risking going to prison for years or whatever it is.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So,
but the
interesting thing, the point I'd like to get at is, you know, if you have these people there and they don't even understand that just because one side's the plaintiff and one's the defendant, that neither one of them is more owing of being right or wrong. So an interesting thing is most juries think that the mere fact now I'm talking about a criminal case, that the mere fact that you're there means you must have done something wrong.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great tactic. If anybody wanted to defend themselves, they could just go in and during voir dire, ask each one of the persons, like, now, do you feel that the client must have done something wrong to be here today? And just get everybody kicked off the jury.
I don't know if that necessarily can get them all kicked off, because in Ian's case, there were people on the jury that said, yeah, I would think if somebody had like the more. So the question was basically, if somebody has a lot of charges, would you be more likely to think they're probably guilty of something than if they only have like one charge? And there were people on the jury that said, yeah, I would think they'd be more likely to be guilty.
Yeah,
and
did any of those people get kicked
that's
off?
That's what I'm telling you. It doesn't necessarily get them kicked
off.
Well,
I mean, you were there and you saw that that was or wasn't the case, or...
I'm telling you, yeah, that there were people on the jury who said that.
Hmm.
So that obviously didn't get them kicked off.
Yeah, well, maybe the issue wasn't pressed enough.
Yeah, but that's the
I wonder, I mean, that might even be able to be an issue that could be brought
not
up.
Not if you didn't object to it.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
Which is, like, so stupid.
But by the way, I mean, I think this is also an interesting point just for anybody who's listening to think about. You have people who basically already think you're guilty just because you're there. So how in the world do we have an actual justice system?
Yeah, because, tons of people actually believe that if you get charged with something, you must be guilty of something. Like, tons of people said, if not to my face, like one girl, then like behind my back, and I heard about it later. Tons of people in my life, like outside of New Hampshire, had said, oh, well, Bonnie's husband obviously is guilty of something because the FBI raided her house. Like, why else would that happen? Or boyfriend at the time.
Yeah, governments have never just gone after people for nothing before.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, so... Well, in the first couple segments, we were talking about Ethan Crumbly's parents. He was a school shooter, and his parents got sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison just because they were neglectful, something like that. And they got charged with manslaughter for the fact that their son killed people, and that's not right. And we have another Second Amendment-related issue coming up, but first I want to let Skeeter, you're on Free Talk Live. I want to let you tell us what's on your mind.
It's your boy, the backdoor daddy,
what?
The Free Talk Live bully, the evolutionary capitalist, young Skeet.
Just to clarify, you are my disowned son.
Yeah.
Oh, how come Mark said I'm like a bully on a playground just beating up on helpless libertarians.
Huh? Hold on. I have to put the record straight. He didn't say, you're like a bully on the playground beating up helpless libertarians. He said, if you were right, then you would be. If you can't explain yourself, then you're just rambling like a crazy man and you never were able to explain yourself. So, yeah, you're definitely misrepresenting what Mark said. I was on that show.
I got the clip queued up if you want to hear it again.
Yeah, I don't think you do.
It's not fair that I'm picking on ignorant libertarians, pretty much.
Don't think he said that.
Now that
actually, I know he didn't.
Now that I've thoroughly proven that taxation isn't theft, you guys constantly call the U.S. government murderers because of the collateral damage in international wars. What makes you think that staying in the very system that commits that murder and taking advantage of the defense and services it provides, how does that not make you culpable for that very same murder? You guys have to renounce citizenship and boycott all American.
I'm not a federal citizen, so.
Yeah, Colin actually already did do that. And the other thing is, you are assuming that the people here who are against war, I think that's what he's saying, are actually like gaining services.
Well, I
have
something interesting to say about that. He's saying not to, you know, necessarily be just putting words in his mouth or something like that, but he's saying, oh, you're benefiting from the fact that somebody else is doing this fight, and if they weren't fighting with these other people, those people could come and get you. And I'm like, well, you can make the argument that any country that's on the other side of another country that's going to war, like there's A, B, and C country, you're living in C, and B is fighting with A, that therefore you're benefiting from it too, you know? I mean, that kind of logic can be, you know, extended endlessly.
What do you have to say?
Let me maybe even give an example. You know, you could say, oh, well, there's two cartels in Mexico, and they're fighting with each other, and, well, if it weren't for this one fighting that one, you'd really be in trouble. You would be in a less safe, Colin.
What do you say about that, Skeeter?
I couldn't hear the argument. I don't know, for some reason when you put me on hold, sounded like you guys are very distant that time.
Really? Well,
yeah.
I mean, I am distant from my estranged son, but
well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't get really. What can you tell me? Maybe something that is like national or something,
so
that you think I benefit from the government.
You can't support murderers, right? You guys can't contribute to a system that murders, even if it's collateral damage, right? That's murder.
Oh, wait. You said contribute this time. The previous time you said, like, get benefit. The benefit from.
Yeah, that's what I was asking you. Like, what benefit do you say that I get?
Yeah, you're making the system better off by contributing to, by trading with murders.
You just, like, can't have a conversation with this guy. Like, he's
dealing
not
with murders.
We have already talked you about this. Every time we talk about using Bitcoin instead of the US dollar, yeah, we say that. So it's like, you're like, oh, you've never thought of this. Bam. And it's like, we literally talk about this. And the other thing is, like, we ask him a question. I think he hung up that time. I just put him on, I pressed the top button. So I put him on hold and now he's gone. But you just can't have a conversation with this loser. He said one thing. I asked him a follow-up question so I can have a better conversation with him. He just asserts a new thing. He's stupid. Either he's stupid or he is paid to come on here and just, like, derail the conversation into stupid conversations that aren't actually, like, interesting or useful. And honestly, I would just stop answering his calls. But when I do that, he seriously, like, literally harasses me by filling up the entire line with all Skeeter calls. And for some reason, I can't block him because we have a crappy, I don't want to say the name of it, but this thing that does our call system is crappy. And it's like, I blocked people before, but for whatever reason, I can't block Skeeter. But we were talking about, kind of like talking about the Second Amendment, honestly, more talking about the injustices and the justice system in general. But this kind of seems like an injustice, and it's related to the Second Amendment. Lori has a story about a judge who said the Second Amendment doesn't exist in his courtroom.
This article is from redstate.com. It's New York City man convicted over gunsmithing hobby after judge says Second Amendment doesn't exist in this courtroom. A Brooklyn man has been convicted of 13 weapons charges after having been arrested and charged in 2022 for building his own firearms. Dexter Taylor's ordeal could become a landmark Second Amendment case in light of the Bruin ruling handed down in the same year. The jury found Taylor guilty of second-degree criminal possession of a loaded weapon, 4 counts of third-degree criminal possession of a weapon, 5 counts of criminal possession of a firearm, second-degree criminal possession of 5 or more firearms, unlawful possession of pistol ammunition, violation of certificate of registration, prohibition of unfinished frames or receivers.
Wait, so the... He made a fake registration for it or something? I don't know. That's
violation of certificate of registration. I'm guessing they just were unregistered guns because he made them.
Okay.
2 lesser charges, including third-degree criminal possession of 3 or more firearms and third-degree possession of a weapon, were not voted on.
Was this all state charges?
It's in New York.
But what does that mean they weren't voted on? Because it's up in the Supreme Court, so that's, it's the Supreme Court of New Hampshire, or New York.
I believe New York is a grand jury state, so...
Yeah, but they don't vote either.
Well, I mean, I really don't know, but I think that the grand jury is responsible for bringing the charges, so essentially the grand jury has to vote that there's enough evidence to even bring those charges.
Maybe they were like, we don't want to...
Yeah.
Mess with those 2 charges because they already had all the big ones and these were lesser charges.
Double check that. But go ahead.
Taylor, a 52-year-old New York native and a software engineer, discovered the world of gunsmithing years ago. He decided to take it up as a hobby and possibly turn it into a business later. However, when a joint ATF-NYPD task force discovered he was legally buying parts from various companies, they opened up an investigation that led to a SWAT raid and arrest.
It's so crazy that you... legally buying things that could be used in a crime it's just totally wrong that it's possible that there are people investigating you for that.
Yeah, you can buy all these parts. That's totally fine. Don't put them together, though.
Yeah.
They only have this one use, but don't put them together for the one use that they have, or else then that's illegal.
So, to answer that question, yeah, New York does do grand juries. And then as I'm searching for it right here, I'm actually seeing...
I don't think that usually you say
I actually see an article here related to a Donald Trump thing where it mm-hmm. says, what is a grand jury? Here's who voted to indict Donald Trump. So they're calling it voting. I guess it's not it's not like a regular jury because it's just the bringing of the charges. Mm-hmm. So they probably don't have to have, you know, all 12 or six or what. I think
well,
those
even
vary. I think it's just like maybe half of the jury, grand jury,
but
has
then
to say yes.
If something goes to a grand jury and they do not decide to pursue the charges, that is never unveiled. So I don't think that we would have this in that article. That's the only thing. So if the grand jury didn't vote to bring charges against Ian,
I think there's a recommendation by a prosecutor to the grand jury.
No, I think this is a thing that is like a thing with grand juries. Like it doesn't get it doesn't become unsealed if it doesn't actually happen. I mean, maybe that's a New Hampshire thing.
Well, wait, but the thing with Ian was federal.
Well, maybe it's a federal thing. But
yeah,
this is
a
conversation like we've had on the show with like Ian.
Yeah, well, this is the state of New York, so it's, you know, it's different. Maybe they release everything that the person was going to be, you know, charged with, and then they release what I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It seems dumb.
But anyway.
So
the article continues. He is currently being jailed on Rikers Island as he awaits sentencing. Taylor's conviction highlights the ongoing battle for gun rights. During an interview with Vinu Varghese, Taylor's defense lawyer, he detailed how Taylor's trial proceeded and highlighted a distinct bias in favor of the prosecution. Varghese described how Taylor became fascinated by weapon science during the COVID-19 lockdowns, which inspired him to take up his gunsmithing hobby. He ended up building, I believe it was 8 pistols and 5 rifles or 6 rifles, AR-style rifles, and then 8 or 9 Glock pistols that he built. In an interview prior to his conviction, Taylor told Red State, I found out that you can actually legally buy a receiver and you can machine that receiver to completion and you can buy your parts and you can put them together and you've got a pistol or a rifle. And once I saw that, I was hooked. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. This is the most cool thing you could possibly do in your machine shop.
Wait, so was he saying all this stuff before they decided he was guilty?
Before they decided he was
Uh-oh.
Guilty.
That's pretty dumb.
From the beginning of
and
Taylor's...
And I was like, this is the coolest crime ever.
I mean, it was legal, though.
Oh, okay.
It says you can actually legally buy a receiver, and you can machine it to completion, and you can buy your parts and put it together.
Yeah, under federal law, yeah.
I thought he was just pointing out you could buy the things legally, not that you could put them together.
No,
then what is he in
is
trouble
legal.
For?
Well, New York.
Well, yeah, New York.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
From the beginning of Taylor's trial, it was evident that the court would be biased against the defendant, according to Varghese, who explained that two judges presided over his case before the current official judge, Abina Darke, took over. The judge disrupted Varghese's opening statement multiple times as he tried to set the stage for Taylor's defense. Even further, she admonished the defense to refrain from mentioning the Second Amendment during the trial.
Wow.
She told us, do not bring the Second Amendment into this courtroom. It doesn't exist here, so you can't argue the Second Amendment. This is New York.
That's a wonderful quote. I love that quote. That's great. This is New York. Like, you finished with that. Like,
because that's just not... okay, I totally support states' rights before I support federal rights. Not that I really think that a state has anything like a human right. But if I was going to have to go with one or the other, I'd say it's more important to give the states' rights, you know, decentralize things a little bit. The federal government should not exist. But... that's just not true. Like, I can't believe that she actually believes that anything has happened that has made it to where the Second Amendment doesn't apply in New York. Like, I understand that there were some things that happened where pertaining to giving permits, like that it can be a shall issue or may issue state. So like, yeah, New York is still a may issue state, right? Like, they don't have to give you a gun permit.
Oh.
But that I don't understand. Like,
I'm shocked she wasn't immediately disbarred and, like, the whole thing thrown out.
I'm only not shocked because it's New York. It's New York.
They don't have the Second Amendment.
Right.
or rights.
Or rights.
At all.
Yeah, I'm sure most people in New York would be like, nice, not, yeah, you know, not thinking like us.
You don't have rights against stop and frisk. You don't have rights, you know.
I thought that was like over.
I'm trying to remember. They were talking about it at the conference we went to in Chicago.
Yeah, but I honestly didn't know about it till then.
Oh,
I didn't know that whole story. I don't know. So that just means that in New York, they were doing this thing where they were just stopping and checking people all over New York City to see if they had guns. And one thing that was a really interesting statistic that the speaker talked about was that more black men were stopped and frisked. There we go.
In a certain area than there were actually black men that lived in like that area.
Right.
In other words, they were all stopped multiple times within a year.
Yeah. In 1 year, more black men were stopped than actually lived there.
And that was ruled to be.
That's the thing we're disagreeing or don't know about.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
It sounds a lot like when they just stop everybody in a line of cars and look inside to see what's going on.
That's exactly what, like at the beginning of this show. We were talking about, what are those checkpoints? Yeah. I don't understand how
illegal
that
stops.
Is fine. It seems so illegal. Yeah. And the thing is, if you stand up for yourself even a little bit, they will basically...
Oh, they'll arrest you.
No. I've only ever seen it go well. Well, I don't know. Maybe,
really?
Maybe there are stories... They get mad and they're unhappy about it, but they basically have to... Like, Mark Edge has a pretty big video on freekeen.com. Well, maybe it's there, but also on Freekeen YouTube channel where he... stood up for himself on the border in Texas, or was it the one on the border in Canada? I don't know. But basically, like, they're so illegal that they basically, if you stand up for yourself at all, they'll let you go through. But they're really mad about it. But I think it's just because they don't want things challenged. They don't want to arrest you because that's so obviously wrong that you can just, I mean, the Fourth Amendment, it's like unreasonable searches and seizures, but there's another word for it. It's like, I want to say unscreened, but I think it's because I just always use that word talking about the callers.
Wait,
but,
are you committing unscreened questioning of the callers on this show?
It's not unscreened, but the Fourth Amendment literally says something that it's like, oh, you can't
really
just like go ahead and.
It's just. They've got me convinced.
You can't just go around and be like, oh, this whole group, I'm searching all of you guys because I suspect someone did a crime that is in the Fourth Amendment. So checkpoints are just illegal.
They don't even suspect someone did a crime. They're hoping someone did a crime. There's no reasonable suspicion there.
Yeah.
They're not pulling you over because you were swerving. They're not pulling anyone over because of, you know, they didn't have their headlights on. They're just stopping everyone. For no reason.
Yeah. And
just because they want to.
It seems like they're not doing a very thorough job. The only time I went through a checkpoint was on the border in Texas, and my friend really had to pee. And we're two white-looking girls. She's actually half Mexican, but she looks mostly white. And American accents. And they just say, like, where are you heading to? And she was like, Texas! And we were, like, already in Texas. And they're like, have a nice day. Because we just, like, clearly aren't illegal or, you know, quote-unquote illegal aliens. So they just, like...
No, I've actually seen that happen. So I was driving with an ex I had who was European, and we were passing through California on, is it 5 or is it 10? I forget the one that runs, you know, east-west. Oh, and anyway, so I'll get this out real quick. They asked, like, if we had, you know, paperwork, and, like, I'm an American, and I was like, well, here's my driver's license, I'm American. And they asked her, and she's like, well, I'm a European. And they're like, oh, do you have your stuff? And she's like, no, I don't. And she's like, well, whatever. You're not what we're looking for.
Whoa. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. 603-283-6160. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
The Shire Free Church offers a sanctuary to those seeking an escape from state churches.
The Shire Free Church is an interfaith, diverse group of people that may not share identical theological beliefs.
As a member in or minister of the Shire Free Church, you are a sovereign individual and may be the faith of your choice.
We don't claim to have all of the answers.
We are open to all peaceful people.
We want to learn from each other.
What unifies the Shire Free Church and its diverse members is peace,
love,
and liberty. There are many paths to God, one for every individual.
The Shire Free Church does not define a specific path beyond these parameters that must be your foundation.
Peace as your way.
Love as your guide.
And liberty as your light.
Learn more at church.shiresociety.com. shiresociety.com.
That's church.shiresociety.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Fork Fest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Fork Fest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Fork Fest is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost, and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you in the studio tonight on Free Talk Live, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
And Colin.
And in the last segment, we were just telling this story from New York. A Brooklyn man got convicted of some gun-related charges, a lot of them, because he had a hobby of putting guns together, and he was doing it most, like, what he believed was legally, but I guess they still found a way to bring charges against him in the state of New York, and the judge literally said, don't bring up the Second Amendment in my courtroom. The Second Amendment doesn't exist here.
This is New York, right? Wasn't that the other part?
Yeah, this is New York.
Wow.
That's just great. Like,
did
that,
I get that quote
last
right,
part.
Though?
Yeah.
Wow. Just shocking. Just so dumb. But yeah, a judge is saying something like that. So I guess she believes that the Second Amendment doesn't apply in New York. And is there more to this story about this crazy case?
Yeah, there's some more about the judge. It says, Varghese said he had filed the appropriate paperwork to preserve these arguments for appeal, but the judge rejected these arguments and she went out of her way to limit me. During the trial, the prosecution attempted to paint Taylor as a dangerous individual who was building dangerous firearms in his basement. In this vein, the prosecution objected to allowing Taylor's family in the courtroom to show support.
Wow, what?
Nor did they allow his upstairs neighbor who knew about Taylor's hobby to testify on his behalf.
I can't believe that they can even... I don't know if the judge allowed it, but I can't believe that the prosecution can even object. I guess you can object to anything, but I've never heard of them
objecting. Judge allowed
it. I mean, all of these little rules that they... Or
but
things that they're able to do... No. What I'm trying to say is they do have reasons for why they might want to do that at any particular point in time that are, like, let's say, reasonable reasons. But what's happening is all the judges in states like New York are complete political hacks now. Completely just doing whatever they can to get these outcomes. Like, they don't care about this guy and his innocence or not innocence. And they don't even care about the law. They just want to, like, have a victory in the media that they can point to. You know, they want to also have a chilling effect. They're trying to get things done that they can't do, like, legislatively. Like, they couldn't get this law passed, so they just want to make it basically de facto illegal by having sham trials. That's what's going on in New York, just across the board with all sorts of other stuff, even like the Trump stuff that's going on right now.
And then also, people don't read news stories, they read headlines. So they'll see a story, man arrested for building guns, and then everybody in New York is going to be like, well, you can't build guns here.
Exactly. That's really...
Oh, well, the Second Amendment doesn't apply here.
Yeah.
No, that's really all part of it. That's exactly the effect they're going for. It's all a war for your mind. It's all like a psyop, essentially.
Varghese described the prosecutor's opening statement. He opens up and he says that Mr. Taylor has a parade of horror. He was building this horrible place when he saw this horror that he was making under the noses of his neighbors because all of those guns intended to hit their targets, basically implying that he was going to do some harm with these things.
Well, so it was like thought crime too, and like anytime the prosecution starts talking about like, oh, what could have happened, like I feel like the other lawyers need to object and be like, well, you're bringing up something that, like, it's not hearsay, it's something else. It's like, a hypothetical. Yeah, it's make-believe. But I feel like there's actually a word for, like, a hypothetical. Like, it didn't actually happen, so why are we talking about that in this case about what he did do? What he did, like, admit
like
to doing.
Like a false narrative.
Yeah.
They're just implanting all these scary thoughts into the jurors' heads. Yeah, in the hopes that they'll be scared.
Mm-hmm.
When Varghese countered this narrative during his opening statement, the judge interrupted him again. "There's no crime here. There's no allegation of violence," Varghese recounted, saying. "I got up and said, you're going to learn what Dexter is, who he is. You're going to learn that he never fired these guns." The judge interrupted again and asked the lawyers to come to her chambers for the second time. Varghese explained that he believed the only chance of having the case go in his client's favor was through jury nullification, which occurs when members of a jury believe a defendant violated a law but decide against prosecuting them because they disagree with the law itself or other reasons. Judge Darke attempted to shut this argument down and led the jury to believe that they would face consequences if they did not vote to convict Taylor.
What? So I would have thought that in New York, like, you just straight up can't say, like, we're going for a jury nullification angle. Like, I would have thought that, because I'm pretty sure in some states, like, the defense can't even do that. Well, maybe it's just that you can't say the words jury nullification during the trial, like, to the jury, and they were just talking in the chambers then. But so I'm just kind of surprised that the defendant's lawyer just said that to the judge. But then on top of that, I'm surprised that the judge can tell the jury how to rule, because what's the point of the jury?
Yeah, I don't think he said jury nullification to the jury.
To the judge.
Yeah, he said it to the judge because they pulled him into chambers because he was like, well, this guy didn't actually do anything wrong, mm-hmm. and was hoping that the jury would nullify on their own.
But then the judge goes like, no, none of that. And then instructs the jury basically that they have to convict him,
mm-hmm.
and that there'd be consequences. Is that what he said? If they don't, or she said?
She said there would be consequences, or led them to believe there would be consequences if they didn't.
Yeah. That is so bad.
Wouldn't that be like jury tampering?
Yeah.
She's the judge. They do whatever they want.
Yeah.
That's the rules of the courtroom. The judge just makes up the rules.
That's true.
Well, actually, you know what's interesting is what this is actually going against is a legal tradition that goes back to, gosh, like 16 something. It has to do with essentially the right of juries. And so back in England, there were some cases against some people, and the jury came back and said not guilty, and the judge said no, and kept sending them and saying you have to come back and find them guilty.
Wait, are you thinking of the one in America that was about slaves?
No. That's different. Those people
that was later.
Were yeah. Mm. But this is where they established that right, mm. that basically what happens in the jury's chambers, you know, are not questionable by the judge. The judge can't question why they've decided to find guilty, or I mean, they can say that the jury didn't understand with a guilty, but they can't do that with an innocent. They can't say you found them innocent and know you're wrong.
Hmm.
And that goes back to I think it's related to William Penn, literally the founder of Pennsylvania, him and his father and legal cases they had in England. So you're talking about a like 400-year-old tradition that this judge in New York is trying to throw out. You know, so just if you're listening, you need to know that this country is, you know, really going downhill and fast.
Yeah, he says that it says, according to Varghese, "I actually argue that jury nullification is allowed because there is some law from the High Court of New York that talks about lawyers who made jury nullification arguments. And basically they said that judges shouldn't encourage it, but they can't prevent it. I actually made a pitch directly to Judge Darke to allow me to argue during nullification. She, of course, rejected that." He added, she basically said, "You must vote guilty," without saying you must vote guilty.
That's literally what happened. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have heard of judges throwing something out after the jury. So what you're saying, Colin, is that this guy in England was trying to throw out the jury's decision after they had already said innocent, and that
yes.
made
yeah.
the rule that you can't do that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's like one rule I've heard of that actually is skewed towards the defendant instead of skewed towards, well, then again, not, it's still pretty, most of those rules regarding the jury are still pretty skewed towards the prosecution. Like whenever they were discussing whether or not the judge could throw out anything that the jury had convicted Ian on, Ian, our founder of this show. Well,
yeah. Okay.
Well, wait,
so I just did a quick thing. 1670 Bushell's case.
Okay. So, they were saying that, well, remember, Judge, any decision you make on this, you must give the best, you must look at it in the best possible light for the jury. So he was still able to throw out one case, but Even if you're not allowed to do that for innocent cases, even if you're a judge deciding whether or not to throw out a guilty thing or, you know, nullify, you know, whatever they actually call it, a guilty verdict, well, you have to look at it in the best light for the jury. Like, you have to give them every benefit of the doubt you possibly could. And that's just like most things are skewed in favor of the prosecution.
Yeah.
And against the defendant, which doesn't make sense and isn't how it should be. It should be presumed to be innocent, but that's not the case at all.
That's literally what they say, is you're innocent until proven guilty. The burden of proof is supposed to be on the prosecution to prove that you did something wrong because you're innocent. But that's not how you're treated. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in a cage.
It's not even how the rules are set up once you actually get into trial. It's crazy. Yeah, so that's just crazy. That whole story is incredibly believable, although it's terrible the way that these people were treated. These judges, they're just absolute tyrants in, quote unquote, their courtrooms. It's so funny, like, you will call it your courtroom and get personally offended about, you know, people following the rules in your courtroom, but at the same time, it's supposed to be a public building that everyone's in. And then when I directly asked a judge, who do you represent? He goes, I don't represent myself or the state or anybody. I don't represent anyone. And it's like, you don't represent anyone, but this is your courtroom? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's just absolute, it's literally just a fairy tale land. As soon as you step in there, they make up new rules. It's just like Alice in Wonderland, how she goes to, she's in trial, and the queen just keeps switching up the rules.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. And like Lori alluded to, at least in New Hampshire, the number one rule, rule number one, is basically that there are no rules, because rule number one is that at any time, the judge can decide to suspend the rules.
Yeah, I think that's everywhere. I think that's the whole point of the judge. Like, they just make up the rules.
It's incredibly unfair. And not how if you've never been through the justice system in any way and you're listening and you think, oh, well, I have some kind of faith in the justice system because at least I know that they have to do blank. Just know that you're probably wrong. They probably don't have to do anything that you think gives you any kind of safeguards when you're stepping into trial.
The reason, there's only one thing that people need to know about why they shouldn't trust the justice system to be fair in any way. And that's, think about people who have nonviolent crimes who are in jail for the rest of their lives, like Ross
Ulbricht.
And then there's people who are guilty of literally killing other people that have like a 5 to 8 year sentence.
Yeah, like probation sometimes.
I thought we agreed we weren't going to talk about what I did.
Oh my gosh.
You know, how does that equate to any type of fairness within the same justice system?
Yeah.
You're going to say that someone making a website deserves to be in prison for the rest of their lives, but somebody who literally killed another human can get out in a few years?
And it's supposed to be like, oh, well, we the people want order, and we want, you know, a certain amount of things to be enforced in our lives, so that's why we have this. But most people don't believe that marijuana should be illegal anymore, and there are still hundreds of thousands of people incarcerated over it in this country.
It's still a federal law, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, something pointed out just the other day is that I think polling shows that 70% of Americans don't want U.S. involvement in the Ukrainian stuff at all, and yet Congress just had an overwhelming vote in the opposite direction to you know, like, fund all that stuff. So, yeah, the government does not represent the people at all. No. I mean, you know, it's funny because libertarians get into this argument like, oh, democracy is mob rule and it's bad and all that. And, yeah, it is, at least in theory. But, you know, we don't even have that.
No.
You know, we don't even have that.
Yeah, it's an illusion of choice.
It is, yeah. I mean, you could actually point to countries that historically have had actual direct democracies, and they have been way better. Not that I think it's great in principle. I'm just saying that it actually does work out better. But we don't even have that in this country anymore.
Yeah, it's like the same thing. People will be like, oh, this is all about capitalism. Oh, capitalism does this and that. And we definitely don't actually have actual capitalism in this country either. And it's different than the communists who say like, oh, that wasn't true communism, because the definition of what capitalism is completely, you know, not happening in the United States as long as the government is involved in, you know, like giving corporations their special
protections.
And
well, I mean, even aside from the regulations, the most important thing in all trade and business is the medium of exchange, and that is so completely manipulated now, and the way in which it's manipulated by the printing of money and giving it to certain groups. Basically, the government runs a deficit. They then go to the Fed prints up the money. So every single economic signal in this country is completely distorted. You know, it used to be you could say something like, oh, the people want McDonald's or something like that. And so if McDonald's wants to put poison in their food, let's say, then at least, you know, the people are choosing that. They want that. But, you know, can we really say that when all of the money that goes to it comes from people who are on like welfare and stuff like that? The complete system is completely out of whack. Just from the money printing alone, regulations regardless.
And I'm not saying that this is the case with McDonald's, but even if it wasn't, oh, well, they get money from welfare, another way to look at it in certain businesses, it's like these people aren't even actually making a profit. I'm not saying this mm-hmm. is the case with McDonald's, but let's say, oh, they're not even actually making a profit with what they're selling, but they're just held up by the government. They're not allowed to fail.
There's that. There's the examples of that you see where you see a thing that is failing that then gets bailed out, like automakers and banks and stuff like that. But what you don't see is all of the businesses that wouldn't ever exist in the first place if the government weren't funding them. Hmm. Like, there are so many businesses that get so much money to develop weapons and stuff like that. Hmm. But then you follow that money and you say, okay, well, these people who are working at this company that makes, I don't know, like a laser guidance system, and that laser guidance system wouldn't exist. Everything that they buy, in a sense, is like also kind of tainted. So if there's a town somewhere near D.C. and it's all military contractors, then all of the people who build all of the houses for them, like those houses wouldn't be that size. They wouldn't be built in that fashion. The whole thing just all the way down is like that.
Were you taught, either of you taught economics in school, like in grade schools?
No.
Me neither.
I think like very basic, like supply and demand. That's it.
So my oldest daughter is 5, and I read her The Creature of Jekyll Island the other night. And I think that should be compulsory reading for children. People should read that to their kids.
What does The Tiny Tyrant say? Should that be compulsory on Free Talk Live?
I did have a like rogue teacher. He was just like my 10th grade history teacher. And we were, well, not really me, because I thought he was cool, but the other students were always complaining, like, he didn't even go over any of the actual material. He just, like, rants to us, and then we were all failing the tests and stuff. And he told us about the creature from Jekyll Island and like, talked about it a lot. He didn't, like, make us read it, because I guess you couldn't do that. But he just, like, wouldn't talk about the subjects and would just ramble about... I don't think he was rambling. It was really interesting to me. He would just talk about...
Actually teaching?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would talk about quote-unquote conspiracy theories like that, and everybody knew him as, like, the conspiracy theory teacher. I don't know how, like, if he had, like, some kind of serious tenure or something like that. I have no idea how he was allowed to do that.
I had a teacher like that. Not he wasn't even extreme. I just remember him saying some things. I'm like, oh, that's not part of the actual history plan. What are you doing, buddy? Like he made, and it was just like a couple of little comments here and there. One was, he said, oh yeah, this stuff happened with the Great Depression and FDR and all this, these works programs and all that sort of stuff. Of course, some people think that that actually made the Depression last longer. And I'm like, whoa, because I knew all of that stuff as a young kid, but I was like, oh, you're breaking the script here, man. Like, should I like report you, you know? Not literally, but you know, for fun, just saying that.
Yeah, but what you're saying is like most public schools would want them to teach that was helpful, what the government was doing during it was
absolutely.
Helpful.
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing looking back at all of the stuff that I was taught. And I can actually say, like, over the years, it's gone from, oh, they didn't teach me the things that they should have taught me, or they didn't teach me well enough, to now I'm at the point when I look back at everything I could possibly remember in school, I'm like, they actually taught me crap.
Like lies. Mm-hmm.
Lies. Completely untrue things, you know.
I was talking to Stu about that the other night, just the other night, about how they taught a long time ago in school that your blood was blue. Mm. And that's why your veins look blue.
I only learned this from Lori.
Here's one.
That's not true.
Stop, drop, and roll. That is the dumbest thing. That does not work. I did that.
Really?
I was on fire one time. I stopped, dropped, and I rolled. Afterwards, I'm like, that is completely retarded. How would that ever stop me from being on fire?
Well,
no.
Wait, what happened when you tried it?
You're just on fire and rolling around.
Yeah, you just the really parts of fire? You that are not on the ground are on fire.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not going to, it depends, you know, there's
how
nothing.
How did you stop being on fire?
The fire burnt out.
What was it, your clothes?
It wasn't even on my clothes. I don't know how, but there was a liquid that had gotten onto my legs that was flammable, and I was wearing shorts, and so my skin was actually on fire.
I'm sorry.
And I'm like rolling around on the ground, and I'm like, oh, that's what you do. And I mean, you know, I would never do that now. I would have taken my shirt off and just, you know.
You know, that kind of reminds me of, I hadn't really thought about that with stop, drop, and roll, because I've never been on fire, but one thing I thought of is like this cop when he heard the acorn hit the top of the car next to him, he literally got on his knees and he was like fat and old. He got on his knees and did a barrel roll. All that did was like make him a easier target
a
to shoot for a
moving
second. Target. Yeah, and like
less coordinated, less, you know, yeah.
And then he had to get back up on his legs. He's like, ugh. You know, getting back up on his legs and then running away when that whole time he could have been running. He was probably trained that somebody probably put in his head at one point that that's a good idea, a good maneuver to do. When
I hope he doesn't have kids. So they don't have to see that and like have all their friends see that that's dad. And like,
I thought you were saying you hope he doesn't have kids so that way like he didn't reproduce.
That too. But like, I hope for his imaginary children that they don't exist.
Well,
that is the best thing to do, is to just ridicule.
I know, yeah.
I mean, like you know, I mean, to a certain degree, we can make all these arguments about, you know, facts and logic and all that sort of stuff. And we can point to historical examples of when people have been free, because there's plenty of them. I found that every single thing that anything we say, like, oh, you could privatize this or privatize that or do that, each and every one of those things has been tried somewhere to great success. And sometimes many of them have been tried. You've never gotten the whole entire full anarchist voluntarist thing anywhere. What was I going with this?
Put them all on the stocks and laugh at them.
The laughing. I mean, we could do the arguments with the logic and the facts, and you should do that. But then you also need to have like a really healthy amount of ridicule.
That's why trolls are so successful.
Yeah.
At their art.
Yeah. And the ridicule, though, has to sting because it's true. You know, that's the key.
Women also need to stop ever saying, like, uniforms are hot or anything like that. Mm. Because cops, if they think women don't find it hot, I bet tons of cops just won't even apply. 603-283-6160. More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Don't go anywhere.
Talk Live for tonight. 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. Are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites?
Yes.
Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Colin.
And in the last segment, we started talking about just basically economics in general and how, you know, capitalism is actually a good thing and how we don't really have true capitalism in the United States. One story that I did have here says that consumer prices rose 3.5%. from a year ago in March, which is more than expected. So yeah, consumer prices are inflating. That's what inflation is. It's the inflation of the price that you're paying.
I'm shocked that it's only 3.5%. whatever percent.
Oh, we've just touched on a topic I love.
Because they lie?
The CP lie, actually.
What's the CP?
Okay. Well, there's the CPI, Consumer Price Index. Oh. But a lot of people call it the CP lie.
Hmm.
And there's another joke out there which goes, yeah, I wish I knew what they actually use for determining in the basket that they use to determine. Because I'd like to buy that. They're like, my prices have gone up more than that.
Yeah.
So can
what
you please
buy the basket?
Oh, so they determine how much the prices have gone up by creating what they call a basket of goods. So they'll look at, like, okay, some milk and some, you know, like electronics and this and that and some books, and then they'll do like kind of an average, and they'll say, oh, on average, all of the consumer products have gone up by this certain amount. But everybody in their life is like, no, everything has gone up by way more than that. Where are you shopping for this basket? We want to buy the basket.
It's just full of like ramen noodles and Cadbury eggs.
Oh, in fact, this is another thing. They change what's in the basket over time. So it's not even held the same. And they'll do things where they say, oh, it's different. Like, okay, so this new phone, it actually is, you know, it was 800 a year ago, and now the new phones are 1,000. But the new phones have more features, so really, you're paying less. That's one of the tricks they'll do. Another trick that they do is they'll say, oh, Americans have stopped buying steak and they've started buying like ground beef more. And instead of recognizing, oh, that's because the price of steak has gone up and Americans can't afford it because, you know, they're you know, poor because of the inflation.
Steak is obviously
better than ground beef. Yeah, they'll say, oh, people are just choosing to eat more ground beef. So they'll change the basket and then say, oh, so now people have had a savings. And another thing that doesn't get captured at all is how do I want to word this? The lack of durability in goods. So I have the example.
Planned obsolescence.
That's related, but I'll just give the example that's true in my own life. Like my parents bought a set of buzzers, hair buzzers, and they were at a certain price. And then they had a set that was my grandma's. And if you look at the price is probably the same. It would have been like $50, you know, back in, I don't know, 1950. And this one was $50 in like the year 2000. But the one that was in the year 2000 broke within a couple of years. I'm still using my grandma's buzzers. So if you take $50 and you divide it by 5 years versus you take it and you divide it by 50 years, obviously the one product is way more expensive than the other one on a per year usage. So that's not taken into account either. So the CPI is just complete. Oh, and also they take out, they call it the core CPI. Doesn't even include food and energy. So even though I was talking about food a minute ago, that's not even part of it.
I think food is probably the thing that went up the most.
And it's important to people.
It's the most important
to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. They do kind of the same thing, like on a magnified scale, I think, during like Black Friday sales and stuff like that. If you read people's reviews of what they bought on Black Friday, it like falls apart. It basically immediately they buy it and then it's broken. And I think that they're taking these things that are sold at these cheap prices and making them even worse than they already were, which is a feat within itself. I might be crazy conspiracy theorist, but I think so. I think that that's actually they make them worse for those sales.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I could totally see that being a thing. So one thing about this story here about the prices raising, it says that shelter and energy costs drove the increase. So wait, were you saying energy is not?
They have a couple of different numbers. There's the core CPI and then there's another number. And I forget all of the little details. I mean, like at some point you do enough research into this stuff and you realize it's just a complete lie and hoax. And you're like, why do I even care to remember this? It's like, if these people are intent to lie that much, what's the point? But there is a core and then there's these other things. But the... And also the media is complicit in this too, because they will just take that headline number and report it, even though almost every single month that they reported for the past, like, I don't know, 5 years, when they did a revision like a month or so later, they increased the numbers on all of this
That's
stuff.
That's weird though.
Yeah,
they
never report, hey, they lied and it's higher.
They start out saying like, oh, it was 3.25, and then a month later they'll be like, it's 3.5, and then a month later they'll be like, it was 3.7, you're all just remembering it wrong?
Yeah, and the same thing with unemployment numbers too.
Listen to this. So the headline says consumer prices rose 3.5%. This key points thing that I read to you, it says shelter and energy costs drove the increase. Energy rose 1.1%. And then I go down to like this third paragraph here, and it says, excluding volatile food and energy components. So what? Like, it's all just like, is this purposely written to be confusing?
Probably.
Who wrote the, who was it?
CNBC, sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's bull. If anybody wants real data on the CPI, they used to calculate it honestly back in like the 80s and the times prior to that. And the methodology has, from what I understand, has been preserved by, is it John Williams Shadow Stats, I think is the website. And he has the actual true inflation numbers, and they show it's much higher. I mean, at least by several percent, which compounds over time. So if you say that, oh, it's not three, but it's five, but then you do five over the course of, you know, 5 years versus three over the course of 5 years, that's a tremendous difference. I've seen basically every price double in the course of my life related to food. I remember getting sandwiches, like sub sandwiches, for like $5, and now it's like $10 if I want a good sub sandwich that's filling and has a decent amount of meat. Yeah.
It was all artificially done, too. When the whole COVID thing was going on and eggs were like $6, mm-hmm. $7 a dozen, you could still get them at Target for like $1.19.
Yeah.
So if Target can do it for $1.19,
yeah,
obviously they weren't worth $6 or $7 truly at the grocery store. They were just telling people to pay that much. And people did.
Well, COVID was a strange time.
Yeah.
I really think it showed us more than ever before how many people are NPCs.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
literally don't have like souls and minds that run themselves, and they're run completely by, you know, whatever. And I'll point to like a couple of examples. One is there were lines at Starbucks going out into the road of people waiting to get coffee during like COVID and the lockdowns and when everybody was supposed to be staying home, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I would just drive right down the road to the Aroma Joe's, which is a local chain up here. They have them in Maine and New Hampshire. I think just Maine and New Hampshire. No line at all. And the thing is, I mean, you know, it's
like
a matter of preference and taste, obviously. Mm-hmm. I like it. I go there more than I do Starbucks. And
Starbucks burns their coffee.
Yeah, that's what I always say. And that's a fact. A lot of people don't know that. They burn their beans so they can have like a signature taste.
But,
like, you taste it and you know what you're drinking.
But
it's bad.
Starbucks was saying things like, we are going to require that people who are in the drive-thru wear masks. They were putting out things saying we might be requiring everybody to do that. Meanwhile, Roma Joe's, no lines, no masks.
And they didn't even blow up or anything.
They didn't blow up and they didn't die and all that sort of stuff. But I noticed, for instance, there was the panic during the first like week or two when everything was shut down. And so I would go to the grocery stores and like they were all out of like this food and that food and canned food and whatever. But then I just eat like meat. And there was plenty of that. So it's like, mm-hmm. It's only the normies who, like, they sent out a programming signal. They said, you know, do all this dumb stuff, and they did it. But if you were just not doing that, like, they were out of toilet paper at this place and that place and that place, but not at the places I went to.
What's really funny is we didn't buy, like, everybody went out and bought extra toilet paper. We didn't buy any extra toilet paper. We went to the store when we were out of toilet paper to get toilet paper, and we never, ever were out of toilet paper.
Yeah.
There was never an instance of not being able to find any.
I didn't understand it either because I always buy stuff like kind of in bulk, so I didn't run out of toilet paper for quite a while, you know?
We just didn't run out. We just bought like a normal size pack, and we just didn't run out until we ran out normally and then bought another pack.
And that was another thing that was just people having like a mental breakdown, or I can't remember what you call that, a mass hysteria thing was the toilet paper because it had nothing to do with the disease.
Nothing to do with it.
The other thing I was thinking you were actually going to say when you talked about the lines at Starbucks was this whole thing is about supposed to be about being healthier. And the people who were more likely to fall for the COVID lockdown stuff care about they say that they care about the mm-hmm. environment when the government tells them to, but they're sitting in a line, idling their cars all the way out to the street just to go mm-hmm. to Starbucks.
I mean, like, why didn't you just have coffee at home? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you had all the time in the world while you were sitting at home. You could have made a fancy latte. You could have figured out how to do that. Here's some other crazy things. I wished I had compiled all of this. One was when they told everybody to social distance, somebody videotaped at a drive-thru. The cars were social distancing.
My car is going to get COVID.
Yeah, they were actually like putting more than a car space between the cars.
Wow.
Our funniest thing was when we'd go to the grocery store and they had those stickers on the floor yeah. from which direction arrows. You were supposed to walk down the aisle. And I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. They think the germs only go one way.
Did
or, like,
you also
what?
Get yelled at if you, or not yelled at, but like other customers would say something if
no,
you
they give
way?
Us dirty looks though, because we did it on purpose. We'd like go down the wrong way and stuff. I think we were in Arizona at that time or
in
somewhere.
In Texas, someone said something to me once, but it was still kind of like they weren't being like, they were still being kind of passive aggressive because he had his mask on and he like gave me a dirty look and then like almost passing me said, I think he said horror. It was like so incredibly angry. Like I was like, really?
We drove
like a big
from,
giant man just walked past
wait,
me. And
wait,
said
wait,
horror.
That's what you would call the person who's going down the wrong aisle.
No, I had
not dirty,
I actually,
but
okay. I don't know
were
if
you
I was
wearing
going
fishnets
down the wrong
or something?
Aisle. No, I don't know if I was going down the wrong aisle, but I was. I would always do this thing where I would stay on the phone with my friend, who like did the same thing. Like we just talked on the phone all day, so I'd stay on the phone with my friend whenever I went into Walmart. So that way I could have my mask down. Even though it wasn't a rule, no one ever seemed to say anything when I would be on the phone with my mask under my chin. But you had to wear it to get into Walmart. A cop would be standing out there in San Antonio. But we do have a caller on the line, Alu, who's from New Hampshire. Alu, what's on your mind?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Just as a medical professional, I have to let you know that viruses only go in one direction and they can't really turn. They have a really bad like turn radius, like a tractor trailer. So
they're ambiturners.
The one aisle. Yeah.
They also, the viruses, I mean, everybody really hates on COVID, but it was a very like morally upstanding virus. It knew which causes to affect and not affect. So BLM was, you know, totally safe. It was okay to go out for that. The COVID wouldn't get you. But if you protested the lockdowns, that was more reason than ever for you to be locked down.
Yeah, exactly. This is Medicine 101. I mean, everyone who knows medicine knows this. If that's Colin, tell him I say he has to do the Alex Jones impression for at least, you know, 2 or 3 hours.
The rest of the show.
My throat will go coarse if I do that, or hoarse or whatever.
All right, anyway, the real...
But I've got the documents, folks.
Jay Noon, I'm way behind on the podcast, but a few days ago, Jay Noon said, we can kind of fix government and tell them what to do because we're their masters and we the people control them. And if we just send in an affidavit telling them what to do, he seemingly implied that then they would listen to us if we send in affidavits swearing
well,
that...
He did imply that, but then when I told him they just will not listen, he said, oh, well, then something will happen.
But
I don't think that's
true. What would happen?
Nothing. So what were you going to say about it, Alu?
No, nothing. They're going to take the affidavits and throw them in the garbage or the trash. And it doesn't matter. Like, even if, same thing with tax stuff and Bear Arms. And again, I love Jay Newman and Bear Arms and all them. But both the tax stuff and the gun stuff and the affidavit stuff, like, even if that's the way the law is constructed and the way the Constitution says that, even if the Constitution were very clear and it said, you know, write an affidavit and then the government has to investigate that issue or they have to take it seriously, nothing matters.
Yeah.
All that matters is he who has the power makes the law.
Yeah.
And they have the power and they don't have to do anything. So even if it were in the law, which I don't, you know, think it's that clear, but it doesn't matter because they have, you know, might makes right and they don't have to listen to us and there's nothing we can do.
They don't even have to listen to them.
Interesting.
They blatantly disrespect their own laws constantly.
Of course.
I gotta like at some point sit down and like really think of how to say this and spell it out in a certain way, but I mean, if they have all this might to just do all of these things, then why aren't they just having like true, total, complete tyranny? Like, how are we, you know, even on? And I know Biden's going to be like, "Oh, they came in, they raided, blah blah." I'm like, "Yeah, but like, they didn't just like shoot everybody.
They have to lull you into it first."
That's a great point. But someone said, and a few people, and Bonnie, and a few of you talk about this a lot on the show, I believe, and the weekend shows. Cows, and it's literally, you know, cows give more milk, and cattle and everything. They perform a lot better and give a lot more milk when they believe they're free and they have an illusion, and they have, instead of a cage in a factory inside of a warehouse, They have free-range pasture type stuff, and they are happier, and they produce a whole lot more.
Yes. One second. I'm writing all this down. I think I could use this on a girl or something.
It's like the frog in the pot thing, too. You can't just come in and say, we're taking over, because everyone's going to revolt against you. But if you slowly take away all of their freedoms, eventually it'll get to the point where they don't have any left, and now they can't do anything about it.
It implies that we had the freedoms.
But they're also genuinely afraid of us here. So, like, since you specifically brought up the raid on my house, they literally were terrified. Like, I asked the guy, like, can I pick up my dog? And he said, we're waiting to see if there's anything in the house that's going to hurt us. Is there anything in the house that you could tell me about that's going to hurt us? And, like, they were nonstop. They were, like, after the raid, like, when they were, like allowing me to go back into my destroyed house, they kept being, I heard them talking amongst themselves, like, the teenage-looking girls that were here with, like, clipboards and blonde ponytails. They were, like, 29 guns, an armory in there, man, and stuff like that. They were genuinely, like, scared that we would hurt them because Matt legally owned guns. So, I don't know. I feel like they are a lot more likely to just kill people. Like, they literally burned down, like, that row house of people in, it was Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So, at one point, humans did have freedom. There was a point in time when human beings were free, and then you get a leader, and that leader takes away a little bit of freedom. And then you get a few more leaders in there and they take a little more freedom. And then over time, now we have this, whatever this is that we live in, where people don't have the freedoms that they even tell you you have. They say, oh, you have all these freedoms, but you can't use any of them or you're punished.
Yeah, that's actually an argument somebody's made before regarding guns. They said, because the police will be like, oh, we saw somebody with a gun, so we shot them because we feared for our life. And somebody said, well, do I actually have a freedom to have a gun if they could just kill me at any point in time because supposedly I could be a threat?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I believe God gave
you the taxes, I think, Colin, just think of it, like, economically, if you were an evil statist thug and you wanted to get as much – and you wanted to squeeze as much sustenance from someone as you could, would you want them producing $1 per week or $30 per week? You'd want them producing more. So it's very simple, just like the cows. They know that if we work hard and we can keep a certain amount, and that's the whole Laffer curve thing. Literally, it's a scientific thing. If they let us keep roughly 70% of what we make, we will produce the maximum amount of revenue for them.
I don't know if I want to get into this conspiracy or not, but I think that the kind of person who's not smart enough to recognize what's going on right now is not going to be a very productive person. So there's a bunch of economic arguments regarding slaves. And of course, you're making the one that if they think they're free, okay, yeah, that's true. But there's just in general, slaves never had as much output as other people did. And I think similarly, like a person who's not bright enough, like the kind of things that we need nowadays for our advancing economy and stuff like that. We don't need just a bunch of like people standing around pulling levers at machines and factories. Mm-hmm. We need creativity now more than ever before. And I got to string this all into a complete thought here. I know where I'm going. It seems to me that they, like, this is related to the depopulation agenda. I think they realize that they just don't need this many like people anymore to run the systems that they need run. I don't know. It's a different topic, but...
Have you read my article on libertyblock.com about the depopulation agenda? I am finally, after years and years of conspiracies, on board with at least considering that
they might
actually want to depopulate.
That is actually really interesting because I'm only finally on board with considering it as well because I watched this long documentary that was really interesting all about birth control. And I already understood that birth control is bad for you for at least like the last few years. But when I learned the history of how birth control became a thing, wow, it's so clear and obvious that there actually is a depopulation agenda. Like, the people who pushed it literally openly had a depopulation agenda. Like,
it's actually been around for 100 years. You know, and what's funny is the population was...
Birth control or the...
No, the depopulation agenda. Mm-hmm. People were complaining about overpopulation potentially being a problem, you know, like 100 years ago. And we had like half the number of people on the planet then. It's kind of amazing. It's like,
I don't think a lot of people know the history of that whole birth control thing and how they force sterilized people, the undesirables, in their words, you know, like the poor and the non-white people.
And like the
Well, I think there's a famous Supreme Court case called Buck v. Bell that I think people learn about in, like, intro to law and, like, maybe high schools, colleges. It's pretty famous. So I do think they discuss the mandatory, compelled.
But they make it sound like it's something that happened once and now it's over. Like, they don't talk about how the founder of Planned Parenthood was openly pro cutting down the population, pro eugenics, and how those types of people who were literally forming groups that were pro depopulation were the people who were lobbying and really pushing to get birth control pills created and then like pushed through the FDA.
I agree. You three should co-author a book about that entire concept, the history of the depopulation agenda.
I'm definitely going to check out your article because I haven't heard that from libertyblock.com.
So my argument about this goes in a different direction. Like, in general, most free market Austrian economics people would say there's not such a thing as overpopulation because as there's more people, there's more production. And there's more creativity, too. So we would be able to generate solutions to all of these problems. You know, like, who cares if there's, 20 billion people on the planet? Well, on the planet, but 20 billion people, that doesn't matter because we might have, like, space colonies or things like that. Like, that's not an issue. Or we might find a way to materialize food out of nothing. So we understand that, like, there's not really actually overpopulation. But I think from their perspective, there is, because it's like they look at it as what do they need and what do they want.
And how much easier are people to control and not fight back against them because there's so many more of us.
I just learned about you talking about who knows what would have been invented and created by now. I just learned about the patent secrecy. So if you invent something that's really great and innovative, they can slap a secrecy act on it, which you can't talk about it. They basically just steal your patent.
You ask for a patent?
The government or the military.
They'll just take your patent from you and you can't tell anyone. And
that's terrible.
Yeah. And so there's so many things that have been created that are well above our technology now that we just have no access to because it got a secrecy stamp on it.
Well, here's an interesting thing, though. Like, if they slap a thing saying that you can't talk about that patent, then do you actually have a patent? Because a patent is just a negative right. Yeah, you go to the patent office.
When you ask for the patent, you probably do,
I don't know if you actually agree to it or not. But what I'm saying is, like,
how are they going to tell you can't talk about it?
I mean, they just tell you that you agree.
Yeah,
I guess. That's how it works.
Sorry, we're coming up to the end of the show for tonight. It's been Free Talk Live. Thank you, Alu, from libertyblock.com. You guys can check out his wonderful articles there. And thank you for listening to Free Talk Live. You can check out more from us at freetalklive.com. That's freetalklive.com. Thank you for listening, and peace.
This is Mark Edge with Free Talk Live. Mark Warden with PorcupineRealEstate.com is one of the best real estate agents I've ever worked with. I've been through about 24 real estate transactions in my life, and I feel like I know what I'm doing, but there's always the things that you don't know that you don't know. Mark Warden with PorcupineRealEstate.com found a problem with the house that I was buying that ultimately saved me $65,000. He's a consummate professional, holds his people to his own high standards, and I would unequivocally recommend him for any real estate purchase in New Hampshire. Don't sell yourself short. Contact PorcupineRealEstate.com.